శరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదకి జయ ఉన్నతి లీలా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర సదశ్వరి శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదకి అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరవ భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోపగోవినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాగుండగిరి గోవర్ధానకి బృందావన ధామకి మాయపూర్ ధామికి మధురపురి ధామికి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామికి ద్వారకాపురి ధామికి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌ ప్రేమనంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ద సింబల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ద సింబల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ద సింబల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గురుగంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద నమోష్పదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రసాయ బుధలే శ్రీ భక్తివేదానంద స్వామి దినామిని నమస్తే సరస్వదేవం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణే నిర్విశేషన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశారిణి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహ గృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాన్ శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి శ్రీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోస్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వపాప ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖశమనం తం నమామి హరిం హరం జన్మాద్యోన్వయాదిదరదాతేష్విజ్ఞస్వరా తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదయ ఆదిగవై ముహ్యంది యత్సూరయ తేజోపారిమృతం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృష నామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తగుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత కైలవోత్రమరమో నిర్మత్సరాణాం సదా వేద్యం వాస్తవమంత్రవస్తు శివదం తావత్రయోన్మూలనం శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వావరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుద్యదేత్ర కృతిభి శుశ్రూషుభి తక్షణాన్ నిగమకల్పతరోర్గలితం బలం శుకముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుధం పిబద భాగవతం రసం ఆలయం ముహురహో రసిగా భువి భావుకాః సచిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః యం ప్రవ్రజంతం హనువేదమవేదకృత్యం ద్వైవాయనో విరహకాతరమజ్జుహవ పుత్రేది తన్మయదయత్తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిం ఆనతోస్మి యస్వానుభావమఖిలశ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపమతిథితీర్షదాం తమోంగం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుం ఉపయామి గురుం మునీనాం నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయముదీరయే కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేణుకొనిదాతృదానందో మమ వాచి విజృంభదామురారే మధురిం నా కలికావి కావిగావి నమామి విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రసాయ భూదలే శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినిది నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవీ గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేషశూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశధారిణి శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః వందే నందం ప్రజ స్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశ Yasam Harigado Gidam Punadi Bhuvanatrayam Govi Charanaraminda Paramanave Nama Pitambaram Karavirajita Chakra Shankham Kaumodagi Sarasijam Karuna Samudram Radha Sahayam Adisundaram Andahasam Vatala Yeshamanisham Hridibhavayami Komalam Pujayan Menam Shamaloyam Kumaraka Veda Vedya Varam Brahma Vasadam Puragomama Mugam Karodi Vajalam Pangam Lankhayade Girim Yalkrubadamaham Vande Paramananda Madhavam Shri Krishna Nama Srimati Adhyaye Nama Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sankirtanam Govinda Govinda. So, yesterday we spoke about the four different kinds of listeners, isn't it? And Shravanam is the most important thing in the Vedantam as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam. You can see why Shravanam is kept in the forefront of all the other nine processes of bhakti. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnor, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam. Out of those nine processes, Shravanam is given in the number one position. Similarly, that is in the Bhagavata Dharmam tradition. Vedantam also, Shravanam is given the topmost priority over everything else through Shravanam. So, we mentioned about this. Yet Karna Nadim, that Karna Nadi, Nadi that now goes from the ears directly to the soul, and through that, when that opens up, this message of the knowledge of the soul goes inwards, goes inside. Otherwise it is very difficult when that is blocked to get that in. So due to Shravanam that will open up. Due to Shravanam, that will open up. So, for a long time, if you hear, you will notice there that keep on hearing this, there is no other process as powerful as Shravanam. As powerful as Shravanam. So, any other process, rather than seeing, or than smelling, or by tasting, or by touching, they are all subtle activities of the senses. But hearing is the subtle of all activities of the senses. Of all the sensual activities, hearing is the most subtle one. The smelling is the tanmatra of or bhumi's tattvam or earth. The tattvam of earth is the smelling. And similarly for water, tasting. And for fire, it is seeing. And for air, it is touching. But hearing is the smell, is the tattvam of the sky. Hearing is the tattvam of the sky. And in the creation, if you look, you will see from the sound, the first thing that came out was the sky. Was the sky. Creation process, isn't it? So when you look at that five material elements in order, you will see that the most gross form is the smell, which is the earth. And the most subtle form is the ear, which is the hearing process. Hearing process is the most subtle thing. And the smelling is the most gross thing out of all the five. And therefore the sky is the most subtle. And actually when we keep on hearing, what it does is it creates a space inside for Shravanam. Shravanam creates a space inside. And in other words, inside us, the chittavritti all goes away. The space that is occupied by the different useless thoughts that has come and taken over, they go away, and inside chittavritti goes away and it will open up. So slowly this Amrita Nadi, it's also Karna Nadi, it's called Amrita Nadi as well. Amrita Nadi as well. It's called Amrita Nadi as well, that opens up. Bhava Pradam Geharadim Chinati, Vidura says there. Bhava Pradam Geharadim Chinati. What happens when that thing opens up, or when the Karnanadi or Amrita Nadi opens up, and if you keep on hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita continuously, what will happen is the connection with the world breaks away. Connection with the world breaks away. And inside that space is filled with happiness, bliss, anandam, and also the peace that comes in. That will open up. And it is like a that opening up of that Karnanadi is like, it opens up like a stream. It starts coming in. And generally, it is mentioned also that when the spiritual master initiates a disciple, it opens up that Karnanadi that is expected while initiation. So in the Asharamanamala, it says like this, that requesting the Lord to put the hand on my head, the devotee is saying to to the Lord to put the hand on the head and opens up this Amrita Nadi. Please open it up for me. By your mercy, let that open up. Some devotees have prayed to Krishna in that way, to open up that Nadi inside so that let transcendental sound vibration gets filled in inside and take away all the inauspicious things from inside. So while hearing, when we keep on hearing, and when we become a first class listener is called Uttama Shrotava. Shrotha means hearer, and the person who is hearing, he is classified into four categories: Uttama Shrotava, Madhyama Shrotava, Prakrita Shrotava, and then the lowest one. So four categories, but the best, Uttama Adhikari or Uttama Shrotha, Uttama person who hears best, that person, Uttama Shrotava, he becomes, when this person becomes a Uttama Shrotava, what will happen is all the ignorance, tamogunam inside goes away, and then he is no more hearing in the platform. He is hearing in such a way, he does not misunderstand, he also does not fall asleep, and he also not hearing and reproducing it, rather it has its direct impact on the person. That will happen after a long term of hearing, constantly hearing and continuously listening, that when this opens up, this Karnanadi opens up, hearing becomes pure. It comes to the pure purpose. And at that stage, it says that at that stage, hearing itself will become an anubhuti, an experience itself. As soon as you keep on hearing, it becomes a next one. Therefore, that is why it is said, even if you have not understood anything, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because it is not for understanding. Spiritual life is not for understanding. That is the first thing we have to remember. To understand, we have understood so many things in this world. What has happened after understanding? Nothing has happened, isn't it? So understanding is not spiritual life. It's a misunderstanding. This understanding business is a misunderstanding. Because it is not meant for understanding. It is meant for experiencing. Understanding is no good. So many things we have understood in this world. What is the use? What is the use of understanding so many things? It is not for understanding. It is for experiencing. That's why it is called in Shastram, it will always say, Anubhuti. Anubhuti is important. This understanding is not there in the Shastram anywhere. Nowhere in the Shastram you will see understanding. Have you understood Bhagavatam? No, you will not ask that question. Have you had any Anubhuti from Bhagavatam? Anubhuti means that experience of that. That is what is. So, so that's why Swarupa Anusandhanam Bhaktirityabhidiyate. Definition of Bhakti is, if you keep on experiencing the soul, then you are in Bhakti stage. When you are experiencing the soul, you are experiencing Bhakti. Swarupam Anusandhanam. Anusandhanam means continuously experiencing your Swarupam. Swarupam means your nature, which is spiritual, the soul. If you are continuously experiencing, that is called Bhakti. Sasvarupanu Anusandhanam Bhaktirityabhidiyate. Bhaktirityabhidiyate says like that. So, therefore, one who has found taste for Shravanam, he will never leave it. He will never leave it. So, we will also realize that once you have developed a taste for hearing, the best thing is you will experience that the value of Shravanam, the glories of Shravanam. So, because Srimad Bhagavata Siddhantam is like that, by hearing you can experience Krishna. This is the Siddhantam of Srimad Bhagavatam. By hearing, you can experience Krishna. And this is exactly the Siddhantam of Vedantam also. Vedantam and Srimad Bhagavatam agree on these things, on this one particular issue. They have total agreement. Vedantam means the Upanishad's conclusions. Upanishad's conclusions is also like that. By hearing, you will experience it. Bhagavatam says, by hearing, you will experience it. We have to experience. It may take some time, but it has to happen. So, in the Bhagavatam, where does it say like that? Shushrushubhi talchanal dharma projjita kaita votraparam narmatsaranam sadam vedyam vastavam atravastu shivadam tapatrayon mulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite Kimva Pareerishwara Sadhyo Hridhyavarudhyade Trakritavi Shushrushubhi Talchanal. Shushrushubhi Talchanal. As soon as you keep hearing, and if the hearing process becomes first class, then immediately the effect must be there. This is the Bhagavatam conclusions. Srimad Bhagavatam Mahamunikritam. Vedavyasa Maharshi compiled Srimad Bhagavatam with this intention. What was that? Kimba Parair Ishwara Sadhyo Hridya Varudhya Detra. As soon as you hear Kimba Parair Ishwara Sadhyo, Krishna immediately walks inside and Avarudhya Detra Kritibhi, and he clears up the whole place, and Shushroshubhi Talchanal, and he stays there. And that has to happen on the spot. On the spot it has to happen. Right now, in the beginning, it may not happen. But if you continuously develop this habit of hearing, you will see that as soon as you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, all other thoughts leaves and Krishna gets in. Krishna comes inside, and what does he do? He looks everywhere, where can he sit properly? And there he finds all other chitavritti comes one after the other. So he has to remove them all from there to find a proper place to sit. Yatha yadalma parimrjyadeso malpunya katha shravana vidhanehi. Krishna is saying this. Yatha yadalma parimrjyadeso. As soon as you keep on hearing about me, I go inside and keep on cleaning up the place. Malpunya gada shravana bhidanehi. If you hear about Krishna, about the soul, tadha tadha pashyati vastu sushmam. That vastu sushmam, sushma vastu, the soul inside, who is present there. Krishna is present inside as Sandaryami, as the subtle, most subtle, extremely subtle state there in the form of the soul. So tadha tadha pashyati vastu sushmam. That you will start seeing that soul. Seeing means experiencing, basically. Not seeing with the eyes. Tatha tatha pasyati vastu sushmam. How? Chakshudivai anjana samprayuktam. Just like a person who had cataract operation has been done, and he starts seeing everything which he could not see before, how he sees. In the same way, a person who has heard Srimad Bhagavatam sufficiently, one whose inside is opened up, this Karnanadi has opened up for him, he will start seeing the presence of the soul inside. In other words, he will start experiencing, spiritual experience of the soul will happen at that stage. That is the Bhagavatam conclusions. No, sadhyo hridya varudyade yatra tadbi shushrushabi talkshanal. As soon as you hear, it will be experienced inside the heart. As soon as you hear, you can experience Krishna within the heart. So, Hari, Krishna comes inside and he presents himself in front of us. So, one who has got taste for Shravanam, he will never give it up. And once you continuously hear this ajnanam, avidya inside us, ignorance inside, it completely gets removed and all the vasanas also starts diminishing. The vasanas also start diminishing and the result of that is the self will manifest from inside. He'll manifest from inside and it lead into the final stage of jivan mukti, of liberation even while within this body. But even after liberation, they will not give it up. They will not give it up. Even after liberation, they won't give it up, this hearing process. That is why Parikshit is saying here. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see. Then, that in the fourth verse, in that tenth canto, first chapter, the fourth verse, you can see there. What does Parikshit say? Nivartta darshai rubagiyamanam bhavaushadi chotra manobhiraman yaduttama shloga gunanu vadan puman virajyeda vina pashugnan. He says there that Nivartta Darshai Ubagiyamanan Bhavaushadi Chotramano Bhiraman Yaduttama Shloga Gunanu Vadan Puman Virajedavina Pashugnan. He says there that Nivartta Darshai Ubagiyam. Now, this is a very famous verse in the then kind of who will not hear Bhagavatam? It says, who will not hear Bhagavatam? That Nivartta Darshai Ubagiyamanan. So, Trishna means what? Trishna means desires. Basically, it is related to vasana inside a person. Vasana inside a person. So, one who has no vasana inside, he will enjoy Srimad Bhagavatam. One who has no vasana inside. What is stopping us from hearing? The desires inside. So many other desires, isn't it? So, those desires are caused by our vasanas inside. Different vasana inside. Nivartta Darshai Bhagiyamana, Krishna says here. So, one who has given up all desires, in other words, all vasanas have gone away from him, particularly reference to personalities like Sukadeva Goswami, liberated personalities. Jivan Muktas they are, isn't it? Liberated while in their particular body. So, they will like to hear Srimad Bhagavatam and they keep talking about Bhagavatam. They keep talking Srimad Bhagavatam. One Mahalpa, once what happened was that he, before he left this body, he got cancer. He got cancer. So the doctor came to him and told him, and that cancer was in the throat. Throat cancer he had. And he told him, don't speak anymore. It will only aggravate the situation. It was that bad. It was in a very advanced stage of cancer in the throat. So doctor came and told him like this. He said, that's all right, he said. And then he started talking to the doctor about spiritual life. He kept talking, and at the end, the doctor got started accepting everything what he was saying. And he says, don't worry about you, keep on talking, I'll keep listening, he said. He said to the doctor. Doctor says to the Mahalma, says like this. These are things happening in this world, not anywhere else. Right in this world it happens. All these kind of things. Doctors will think in terms of the body. Mahalpa was not thinking in terms of the body. He kept on talking. He says, it is impossible to stop, he said, to talking about Krishna. Talking about Krishna. There is a famous Vedantist in Tamil, Thaimanavar. Thaimanavar writes like this. He says, if you throw a few grains of rice, cooked grains outside, the crows will come and they will eat. But have you noticed when they eat, the crows come and eat the rice, they will keep on making the noise, inviting all the other crows to come to eat a few grains of rice. They'll make the noise in such a way, they will give notice to all the other crows to come. that is quite common in India, that if you throw the rice outside, cooked or boiled or uncooked rice, whatever it is, the crows find anything, they'll come and make a big noise, and inviting all the other crows to come to enjoy, to share it. That is their very nature. So in material life, if it can happen, Taimanavar says, how can I avoid that? I found that happiness inside, how can I give it up? He says, let everybody come and enjoy this, he says. So that is his realization. So how will I not call others? He says, let everybody come, Jivan Muktas, liberated souls, even they can come and enjoy Krishna consciousness. This is not for this medicine, aushadam, that is what bhavaushadi it calls, isn't it? Bhavaushadi, the word that used in that verse is bhavaushadi chotramano bhiraman. What does that mean? Aushadam means medicine. Medicine for what? To stop this cycle of birth and death, repeated birth and death, to put a stop to that. That medicine is Srimad Bhagavatam. How is that happen? Shrotramanobhiraman. Here and it creates, stops that disease. Only thing is, this medicine is not taken through the mouth, it's taken through the ear. That is what that verse is saying. Nivrtta tarshair ubagiyamanad. One who has given up all desires, vasanas has gone away, he will hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhava aushadi chotramanobhiraman. One who is taking this medicine through the ear for stopping the cycle of birth and death. Stopping the cycle of... okay. But if you take this normally, all the medicines actually develop the body, isn't it? Makes the body stronger. But this particular medicine, Manobhiraman, it will purify the mind. It will cure the mental problems, mental diseases. In other words, Nivartta darshair ubagiyamanan bhava ushadi chotramano viraman yad uttama shloka gunanuvadad. Uttama shloka is who? Krishna. Uttama shloka is gunanuvadam. Uttama shloka is glories. When you hear about that, and uttama shloka gunanuvadan, the uttama shloka gunanuvadad, puman virajeda vina pashugnan. Puman virajeda vina pashugnan. The only person who would not listen to Srimad Bhagavatam is Pashugna. Pashugna means one who kills animals. One who kills animals, they would not hear Srimad Bhagavatam. They will not find any taste in the Bhagavatam. So who will say that I do not want to hear Srimad Bhagavatam? Who will say that I do not want to hear Srimad Bhagavatam? Pashugna, one who kills animals. And he must be killing animals. And he must be eating the animal's flesh, in other words. So, Sridharajani Swamiji mentions this in the Srimad Bhagavatam commentary. Apashugna, he also uses the word as apashugna. In other words, apashugna means one who kills himself. One who kills himself. That means, one who kills himself means one who kills his own soul. One who kills his own... What does that mean, killing his own soul means? Killing his own soul means, the soul by nature is Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam, isn't it? Eternal it is. And it's pure. And it's also fully conscious. And it's always liberated. This is the nature of the soul. And we are that. We are meant to be like that. Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. We are meant to be like that. But instead of coming back to that state, where what is our original state is, we continue to stay in this body and thinking that this birth, death, old age and disease is our Swarupam. And so those who do not go back to that original state of Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam, or Sachidanandam, Satachitan Anandam, one who is not experiencing that bliss in this life by taking to the process of Krishna consciousness, that person is actually killing himself. He is killing himself. He doesn't know what he is doing because he has got an opportunity to realize the truth. He has given it up and he has engaged after sense enjoyment. He fell into the trap of sense enjoyment. That's why he is saying there that Puman virajyeda vina pashugnar. Srila Rajari Swamiji says of Ashoknath, he says he's also a killer of himself. He's also a killer of himself. How do you know that Pashupuddhi? Because animals' intelligence is like that. Animals' intelligence is like that. If you remember in the Srimad Bhagavatam, at the very end of Bhagavatam, when Sudeva Goswami is just leaving Parikshit, after speaking the whole of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sudeva Goswami is just leaving him. At that time, he spoke a few things to him. If you look into 12th canto, you will see at the 5th chapter what he told him. Tum tu rajan marishyedi pashubuddhi mimam jahi. He says there, pashubuddhi. Pashubuddhi means animal's intelligence. What is that? Animal's intelligence. This is why animal killing is. Animal killing will create animal intelligence. Animal intelligence. Animal intelligence is what? To think that I am this body. That is animal sin. All animals think they are the body. Isn't it? So, tum tu rajan marishyedi pashubuddhi mimam jahi. Give up that pashubuddhi, he says. As soon as Sudeva Goswami said that, Parikshit also lost that pashubuddhi. He became totally realized who he is. Isn't it? He realized who he is. So that is how Atmatattvam, the knowledge of the soul, manifests like that. When the spiritual master like Sudeva Goswami spoke, on the spot it happened to Parikshit. On the spot it happened to Parikshit. So it took only a second to get that happen. But hearing from Sudeva Goswami, Srimad Bhagavatam, and at the right point, when the seventh day was, time was going to run out, Sudeva Goswami decided, now let me tell him what should happen now to him. And he says to him, Tundurajan Marishedi, my dear king, remember this one thing, you don't die, the body die. If we get that clarity inside, the fear of death is gone, isn't it? Why are we fearful of death? Because I'm thinking I'm this body. That is why I'm frightened of death. Otherwise, why should I be frightened of death? If I know that I'm not this body, why should I be frightened of death? Every one of us, isn't it? So, tum tu rajan marishyedi pashubuddhi imam jahi. If you are thinking you are this body, that is pashubuddhi, animal's intelligence. Animal intelligence. Jahi, give it up, he says. And that has left him at that time. So, here, Tundurajan Marishedi Pashubuddhi Mimam Jahi. So, as far as Srimad Bhagavatam is concerned, even for sacrifices, killing animals is not acceptable. Killing animals is not as acceptable. So, therefore, those who are interested in Karmagandam, there is killing of animals. Even they will not find attraction for Bhagavatam. Even they will not find any attraction for Bhagavatam. So, who will develop that attachment? Who will develop that attachment? That one who has developed a Shravanam, taste for Shravanam, he will never give it up. This is the Bhagavatam conclusions about it. Therefore, it says there, Swadu Swadu Pade Pade. In the first canto, you can see that in the first chapter itself, it says, Swadu Swadu Pade Pade. Swadu Swadu Pade Pade. Every word you keep on hearing Bhagavatam, there will be more taste for relishing Bhagavatam. For relishing Bhagavatam. So, I mentioned this also before. In Ramanuja Acharya's time, one of his disciples who used to live in the ashram, that he was so absorbed in the hearing Ramayanam. This Ramayanam, Bhagavatam hearing is the same. Ramayanam, he was absorbed in hearing so much. But he as soon as he gets that taste, if it develops in him, his nature will change. His nature will change. He gets so absorbed in that. So once he was hearing this rasa, when he develops that rasa of taste, once he was hearing about this, that Ravana walked into the battlefield. Ravana walked into the battlefield. And at that time, as soon as Ravana came in, Hanuman jumped up and gave a punch on Ravana's face. Punched him on the Ravana's face. As soon as this happened, this particular listener who got so excited of hearing about Hanuman punching Ravana, he punched the next person who was sitting next to him. Next to the person who was sitting next, he punched him straight away. This is how we punched, he said. That excitement in him. So normally most of the people stayed away from him because of the excitement he was experiencing. This was in Ramanujacharya's time. He was so absorbed in hearing, he could not. The ecstasy what he was experiencing from hearing Ramayanam. And this has been going on for 30, 40 years in his life. And at one point, Ramanujacharya called him and asked him, you have been hearing Ramayanam for so long now. For so long, you have been hearing Ramayanam. Many others were also hearing Ramayanam. They have also heard for a long period of time, and they have developed a taste and they have gone back to their villages. And they started reading Ramayanam on their own, in the temples in their own villages. But you have not gone anywhere, you are still staying here. His answer was very interesting. He says to Ramanujacharya, whatever you said is all true, but in my case it's not going to happen, he says. So long as you are speaking, I will be here. The moment you stop speaking, I will go. But you are not going to stop speaking and I'm not going to stop listening. That's going to happen eternally, he said, till I leave this body. And Ramanujacharya could not say anything to him after that. Because his taste for Shravanam is such that once you have developed a taste for Bhagavatam or Ramayanam for that matter, you cannot give it up. It is such an amazing thing, that taste of Srimad Bhagavatam. That's why it's mentioned here. So he says to Ramanujacharya, I've learned everything, but my taste is that I have to keep on hearing. I have to keep on hearing. But I'm not satisfied. I still want to hear more, he says. So it is not going to happen. Therefore, keep on talking and I'll keep on listening, he said. So then, that, in other words, you never feel satisfied after hearing. That is the taste of Srimad Bhagavatam. There are many, many people who had heard for 50 years, 60 years, still they say they're not satisfied listening to Srimad Bhagavatam. So hearing Bhagavatam is rasam. It's a taste actually. And that developing that taste may take a little time. So Shravana Sadhana is most important. This is called Shravana Sadhana. Sadhana in the form of hearing is most important. So Parikshit's words here, the question, is also glorifying sadhana process, the Shravanam process. If you observe that, you will see here that he is glorifying the hearing process first, more than anything else. Nivritta darshai rubagiyamana bhavaushadi chotramano bhiraman yaduttama shloka gunan vadan puman virajedavina pashugnad. That who will not hear, he is asking, Srimad Bhagavatam. Who will not hear Srimad Bhagavatam? And similarly, Brahmam, for Jnanis it is Brahmam, isn't it? Brahmam also you can only experience through Shravanam. Brahmam you cannot get it by sadhana. Sadhana, Brahmam realization, you don't experience it through sadhana. It is not possible. Sadhana is a karmam at the end of the day, you have to remember that. Sadhana is also a karmam, isn't it? When we perform sadhana, it's also a karmam. And karmam cannot bring the experience of the truth. Karmam can never bring the experience of the truth. What sadhana does is, it removes that ignorance inside. But experience has to come by hearing. Experience of Krishna has to come by hearing. So keep on chanting even the holy name. What it does is, it removes all the, cleans up the whole place inside, and prepares itself, ourselves, to hear the truth of Krishna. Hear the truth about Krishna. That is how it works. So this process of, that's why Upanishad says, Are Alma, Yajnavalkya Maharshi says to Maitreyi, Are Alma, Drashtavyaha, Shrotavyaha, Mandavyaha, Nididhyasidavyaha. That is how he says here. Are Alma, if I want to hear about Atma, first you hear about Atma, after hearing, then you contemplate on that experience. Drashtavya, Shodavyaha, Mandavyaha, and After the, and you should do that and bring it to your own experience, what you have heard. What you have heard continuously by that hearing process, that experience will start coming inside. One should practice that and develop that, it's his own realization it should become. So here, what we say is Krishna, Jnanis calls us Brahman there. That's the only difference. There is no other difference there. We say Krishna, Jnanis say Brahman. That's the only difference. That's the only difference. That's why, to make that clear again, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the very beginning itself, Suda Goswami said, Vadanti tattvavidam tattvam yajnanam advayam brahmedi paramatmedi bhagavan iti shabdyade. Vadanti tattvavidam. Learned people, learned transcendentalists who knows the tattvam, who has understood the tattvam, realized the tattvam, they say, Vadanti tattvavidam. Tattvavid means one who has realized that tattvam. They know tattvam yajnanam. That tattvam is knowledge. What kind of knowledge? Advayam. It doesn't have any duality there. It's one. It's only one thing. That knowledge is one. And that thing is addressed in three different ways by three different personality, different transcendentalists. One group, jnanis address them as Brahman. Yogis address him as Paramatma. Bhakta, devotees address him as Bhagavan. That is that. That is why Suda Goswami said that in the beginning. The tattvam is jnanam advayam. Brahmedi, paramatmedi, Bhagavan, iti, shabdyade. Shabdyade. It's addressed in that way. It's addressed in that way. So, actually what is there existing? That's only one thing. What is that? Advaya jnanam. Advaya jnanam. That is what it is. So, advaya jnanam means there is no duality there, there is only one, and that knowledge is jnanam. That vastu is called jnanam. In the Bhagavadam, if you look carefully, you will see, Vedyam Vastavamatra Vastu Shivadam. That vastu, it isn't addressed there as Bhagavan, Paramatma or Brahma. It calls it as vastu. Vastu means that knowledge, that's the experience of that soul. That is that vastu. Brahma jnanam or Advaita Jnanam or Bhagavan or Paramatma, whichever way you address that, it is one and the same thing. And different people calls in by different names, but substance is one. And you can only get it, capture it by hearing. That vastu, you can only capture it by hearing. No other means. So, Krishna's pastimes, if you keep on hearing that, what will happen? In the Kathopanishad says this, isn't it? Shravanayabhi behavior nana labhyaha. Kathopanishad statement is like that. That Shravanayabhi behavior Shravanayabhi behavior yona labhyu Shrunandobi bahavo yamna vidyu Ascharyavakto kushalasya labdha Ascharyajnada kushalanu shushta. It's an important verse in the Kathopanishad. Kathopanishad is saying that this vastu means this Advaita Jnanam, will not come by karma. By karma, it won't happen. How will it happen? Shravanayabhi bahubhar yona labhyu. That means the Yamadharma Raja is talking about this to Nachiketas. In the Kathopanishad he says, Shravanayabhi bahubhir no labhyu. That durlabham, this Atmavidya, the knowledge of the soul, how difficult it is to get it. That's what he's saying there. That sometimes, for many people, they hear about that, still they don't get it. Still they don't get it. Shrunandobi bahavo yo na vidyu. Yam bahava shrunanda api na vidyu. Those who have heard among them also, many people have not come to know about it. Ashcharyo vaktaha kushalose labdaha ashcharya jnado kushalana shishtaha. Ashcharyo, the person who has got it, he also is a very amazing thing like the vastu. That means this transcendental knowledge itself is an amazing thing. And the person who has got it is also an amazing thing. Is also an amazing person, one who has got it. Ashariya Vakto and Kushalasya Labdham. Kushalasya Labdham. And it also says here, only one who is very, very expert in this process of hearing, ultimately he will be able to hear this properly. Because that is where all the expertise is in hearing. Hearing is the expertise. Ashariya Vakta Kushalasya Labdha. Ashariya Jnata Kushalani Shishtaha. Similarly, one who has got it, and from him, if somebody else gets it, he is also very expert, he says, smart or clever. That's how he puts it. Ashariya Vakta Kushalasya Labdha. Ashariya Jnata Kushalani Shishtaha. So, those who can instruct on the knowledge of the soul are very, very rare in this world. And similarly, those who are capable of hearing about the soul are also very rare. So, a specific acharya or a great soul who have given this instructions on the soul, and if he talks about that, one should capture that from him, and that listener will also become realized in course of time. But it also says there, Ashariya Jnata Kushalani Shishtaha, that such souls are very, very rare indeed in this world. So this is a statement in the Kathopanishad. Kathopanishad says like that. So even there you can see, Yamadharma Raja, when he spoke to Nachiketas, the message is, you have to hear. You have to hear. So whether it is Bhagavata Dharmam or it is Vedantam, either way, you have to hear. That is the process. Not by sadhana it will happen. Sadhana is also a karmam. Karmam cannot bring knowledge. Karmam cannot bring knowledge. Knowledge has to get in through the ears. And that's how it will happen. So Srimad Bhagavatam, he says like this, that rarely people hear, and only among them who have heard, few people get that truth, clarity inside. And among them who have got it and started experiencing them is also very, very rare. So the goal is experiencing the truth. It was at that time Parikshit was talking about this hearing process and kept pushing Sukadeva Goswami, talk to me about Krishna. Now, slowly, Parikshit is introducing Krishna to us. What is Krishna? This is the biggest thing in Bhagavadam, isn't it? What is Krishna? We have understood Krishna in different ways. Most of us are different. Somebody will say Krishna is Gokulananda. Somebody will say Krishna is Landanishwara. Somebody will say Krishna is Parisishwara. Or in whichever way you want to address Krishna, that is all the names we are giving to Krishna according to the place where he is present, isn't it? So that is one way of seeing Krishna. But what is Krishna? That is the question. And this question has come up. Sudeva Goswami asked Parikshit, who is this Krishna you are talking about? I wanted to find out from you. You tell me that you want me to talk about Krishna, but who is Krishna, first of all? This is how Upanishad's knowledge, Sukadeva Goswami has got the opportunity to bring it in. As soon as he found the opportunity, he started speaking in that style, that the Upanishad style. He starts coming now from the next few verses, you will see that. So in other words, to come to Krishna, to understand Krishna, to hear about Krishna, you have to know Krishna's Swarupam, isn't it? Krishna's name. Who is Krishna? What is Krishna? One has to know. And only a person who has known that, only if one somebody knows about it, only if there is some point in talking about Krishna to him. Otherwise, it will remain as a story. Story will remain simply as a story. Bhagavadam is not just story. That is the main thing. Somehow this, in the society, this misunderstanding has spread a lot, because so many Bhagavadam speakers, they keep saying story, katha. It does help. There's no question about that. To develop the person from a very preliminary stage, to develop some taste for Bhagavadam, people, you will see thousands and thousands of people going and hearing Srimad Bhagavadam in India, some famous speakers speaking Bhagavadam. But If you remain in that platform of the story, then you are not going further from there. Because if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, Sudeva Goswami is not just going to tell stories there, isn't it? Story is not a storyteller. Many Bhagavatam speakers have become storytellers now. They say they make it as attractive as possible by making it stories. And story saying is good, you know, because to develop some taste into the higher side, higher values means knowledge of the soul, to develop, to get interested, to develop a taste for a person, we have to start with the stories, no question about that. But if we do not understand what is Krishna and who is Krishna, and if we speak to a person, want to hear about Krishna, first of all, that person should know what is Krishna Swarupam in Tattvam. That is why Krishna talks about Tattvam in the Bhagavadam quite a bit, in Bhagavad Gita also, isn't it? Tattvam, Tattva Jnanam, he keeps repeating that. Janma Karma Cha Me Divyam Evam Yo Veti Tattvada Tattva Tyakta Deham Punar Janma Edi Mame Edi Sorjana, he says there. And then also, in the end of Bhagavad Gita also, you will see a few verses. Krishna says, one who has come to know about me in Tattvam, Vishade Tadanandaram, he can enter into me. So obviously Krishna gives a lot of importance to this tattvam. So only one who has experienced in tattvam, then only it's help him in by talking to him these stories. Otherwise the story will remain as a story. I'll tell you why. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, after all these things Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken, in the 12th canto, there is a very interesting verse. What it says is that the Katha imam ste kathidam mahiyasam vidaya lokeshu yashap pareyusham Vijnana Vairagya Vivakshaya Vibho Vajo Vibhudirnadu Paramathyam. When you get time, you should take that verse and have a look at it. Who is saying this? It is in the 3rd chapter, 12th canto, 14th verse. Katha imam ste kathidham mahiyasam Vidaya lokeshu chayasap pareyusham Vijnana Vairagya Vivakshaya Vibho Vajo vibhudirnadu paramarthyam. He says here, Katha imamste kathitam mahiyasam. He says, Katha imamste kathitam mahiyasam. I have talked about a lot of many kings who have appeared in this world. Their stories, isn't it? Pridhu Maharaja, Ambarisha Maharaja, and Son Katwanga, Mandhadha, Mujugunda, and then a number of kings. I have spoken about them in the 9th canto. Whole of Solar dynasty, Lunar dynasty, great personality. Not ordinary people, big men, big kings and big people, emperors. Their history I have spoken in the Bhagavadam till now, he says. Katha imamste, their katha, their history I have spoken. Kathidam Mahiyasam. Mahiyasam means kings, their stories. Vidaya Logeshu Yasha Pareyusham. And these kings, they were not ordinary people. They were known throughout the world, throughout the planet, due to their control and their authority. They were so well-known personalities. They were not ordinary people. He says here, Vidaya Logeshu Yasha Pareyusham. Their yashas, their fame was spread all over the world. There were such people, these kings, about whom I have spoken in Bhagavadam. Then, but he says there, I have spoken that Vijnana Vairagya Vivakshaya Vibhom, only for one reason, that even they had to leave this world. That's all you have to understand from that. In order to make you understand that, I've spoken about them. that such big men, kings and emperors, who ruled and controlled this planet, they also had to go from here. If you understand that, even they had to go, why do you think that you are going to be here forever? This is the question Sudha Goswami is asking, saying there, Vijnana Vairagya Vivakshaya Vibho, that I was not interested in glorifying their vibhuti, how big they were, because as far as Sukadeva Goswami is concerned, nobody is big if he is not self-realized. Even if he is a king or an emperor, it doesn't matter. What to talk about ordinary people. They were such big, powerful men in this world, and I've spoken about them and their vibhutis, means their strength and their greatness, all I've spoken. I have not spoken that to tell you about their activities and to get surprised or impressed by their activities in this world. Why? They also had to leave this place one day and go. They also could not stay. They wanted to stay here. Many of those emperors, they wanted to be here, controlling this planet forever. Bhumi Devi says, no, I laugh at them, she says. They come with marching forward in front of my chest and they want to keep me under control. After size, they're looking for 6 feet of land to lie down on me at the end. This is their destiny. If it is like that, why do you think that you are going to be here forever? That vidya, it's only spoken for one reason, vidyana vairagya vivakshaya vibho. In other words, only to create some detachment inside us that we also have to leave this place, to make us aware that. Only for that purpose it was spoken. Because it's not very easy to get that thought in anyone's heart. Every one of us are thinking, we will see when it comes. I'm going to be here. I'll be here. Everything will be sorted. And we will see. It may not happen to me. If somebody dies, he says, something has happened to him. It may not happen to me. He must have done some mistake. Something must have. He didn't go to the proper consultant or doctor or whatever. Some kind of statement will make it completely close the eyes, like the rabbits close the eye when it sees the headlight from the car. It closes the eyes and stands in the middle of the road, thinking that the danger is gone. So similarly, we are also doing the same thing. That's why it says here, Vijnana Vairagya Vivakshaya Vibho. Only to create this understanding, this Vijnanam, that death will come and will be gone. And Vairagyam, renunciation from this world, to come completely aloof from this world. Vijnana Vairagya Vivakshaya Vibho Vajo Vibhudir Nadu Paramarthyam. They are all not the real thing. As I said yesterday, Sukadeva Goswami described the whole creation and he says none of them is real. Similarly, here also he is saying the same thing. I will explain all the history of all these kings, but none of them are real, he says. In other words, he is not telling that they are all lie. What he is saying is they are not real. They all come and gone. So what? Now it's all in the memory, isn't it? What reality has it got? It has no reality anymore. They are finished, gone. Who is going to think about them anymore? And Bhumi Devi gives a list of great personality who had come to do this on the Mother Earth. Gadi, Parashuram, and including Raghu, Ramchandra's granddad. All of them are spoken and says they have all tried on to stay here. Nobody could stay. Nobody could stay here. Even they had to go. So, and he quotes who else? Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, they also wanted to be here. Isn't it? Control the planet. Nobody could do it. Krishna won't allow that. So, Vajo Vijnana Vairagya Vivakshaya Vibho Vajo Vibhudir Madhu Paramarthyam. None of them is spoken with the intention of, it is not expected that we are supposed to study each of these kings and their administration and what was their special. No, the idea is that even they tried, they couldn't stay. They had to go. And if it is like that, what is the point in, he says here, Vijnanam and Vairagyam. Only for that purpose, I have spoken that in order to do that, first thing is, you have to hear about Krishna well. Krishna, Bhagavat Tattvam. Tattvam about Krishna, you have to hear very well. Therefore, that is why, up to the 9th canto, particularly in the 8th canto, all the glorifications in the 8th canto is Upanishads. Upanishads knowledge. Upanishads is filled with the 8th canto's glorifications. If you look, you will see there. 8th canto glorifications. Gajendra's glorification, starting with that. It's Upanishads knowledge that in Gajendra's glorifications. And the glorification of Lord Brahma later. again the same way. Adidhi's glorification, all of that. After saying all that, then after that is 10th canto beginning. Beginnings after that. Many people think that canto 11 is all Vedantam, isn't it? Canto 11 is pure knowledge of the soul, which Krishna instructed Uddhava. So they think that is all Vedantam, and all the remaining parts of Srimad Bhagavatam is Katha, they think. That's why many people finish with 10th canto. They don't go after that. They say it's not interesting. They like to hear the Katha. But those who have heard these 9 cantos properly, they will know that this misunderstanding will not be there in them. Mainly, 8th canto is Upanishad's knowledge. And speaking sufficiently about the Upanishad's knowledge in the 8th canto and preparing the listener to become very matured, to understand what is Krishna Katha. And it is after that he enters into Krishna Katha. Krishna Katha he enters into after that, after preparing the person ready for hearing that message properly in the 10th canto, the 8th canto, up to 8th canto, and including even the 9th canto. Up to 8th canto it was spoken to create that knowledge part of Upanishads was spoken, and 9th canto to create that detachment from this world. The history of all these great kings was spoken to get us realize our situation in this world and to convince us that those great personalities, the kings and emperors, they were not safe in this world. They had to go. And when it is like that, your place is also not guaranteed here. Your position is also in the same way. So if you hear this again and again, some vairagyam will come inside. You'll start realizing that my position in this world is also temporary. I'm not going to be here for ever. Once that realization comes, quietly chitavritti will go. You will start a little bit more deeply absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So to develop that, 9th canto was spoken purely for that purpose. And then in the 10th canto, Krishna Katha comes. Why Krishna Katha? Because if you have understood what is Krishna from the 8th canto, and if you understand, that means the knowledge is there. And then vairagyam from the 9th canto, then bhakti will come in the 10th canto. Bhakti will come in the 10th canto. So you are matured for hearing about Krishna in that case. So on the one side, knowledge of the soul, tattva jnanam, on the other side, taste, rasam. The rasam on the other side. So one has to know how to experience Krishna. The rasam should be there. Tattva jnanam alone, tattva jnanam is good, because if it stays only in the phase of intelligence, intellectual phase, then you cannot experience it. You cannot experience it. That's why we say, all these tattva jnanam, tattvam, what is spoken about Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it should not be touched by mind and intelligence. That we have to make sure, that the mind and intelligence don't get involved in it. Which means, mind means it will ask questions, isn't it? A lot of doubts it will create, some shame. Doubts it will create and it will keep on going like this day after day. What does intelligence do? Intelligence will keep on trying to choose one from that and get itself fixed up on one that. That is also a wrong thing in spiritual life. To think, sometimes we say, oh, I've understood now. What have you understood? So that means you have tried with the mind and the intelligence. The mind and intelligence is not the tool for experiencing Krishna. For experiencing Krishna. So suppose it is just only to taste, enjoy, it will become mundane. It will become mundane. That's why we say, when Krishna Katha is spoken, it should not be spoken in such a way that it becomes a mundane thing. It becomes a mundane thing. A lot of times it happens like that. They speak Krishna Katha and it becomes a mundane thing. And in other words, they talk about in such a way that Krishna married 16,108 wives. Krishna had a very nice family life. Krishna had so many children. And how Krishna kidnapped Rukmini. And they think the whole thing on a mundane level, they are seeing that. And when one starts seeing in a mundane level, that rasam, it will become materialistic. It will become materialistic. That is why when you experience Srimad Bhagavatam, you have to experience with in association with knowledge. With knowledge, one should taste Krishna. One should taste Krishna with knowledge. So, at that time, every pastime of Krishna will become an experience in itself. That is why it is mentioned like that. So, when Canto 10 begins, Parikshit's devotion. And what does devotion mean? That taste, what you find in Parikshit, to hear about Krishna, you find that very strong in the beginning of 10th canto than anywhere else. Even in the first canto or second canto, when Sukadeva Goswami started speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, you don't find that taste, what Parikshit had at that time, is much more powerful when it comes to 10th canto. The reason is this, that Parikshit is saying to Sukadeva Goswami, talk to me about Krishna Katha. Talk to me, Krishna Katha. So, Surya Vamsham, Solar Dynasty, and the Lunar Dynasty, here you have spoken at length. And Yadu Vamsham, that is where Krishna was born, Yadavas, they were, from Yadu onwards he has started. And Yadu, from Yadu onwards, they were addressed as Yadavas. But why Yadu has got this importance there? Because Ekadasha Skandam, you will see in the 11th canto, that Yadu received Brahmavidya, knowledge of the soul, from who? Dattatreya Maharshi, isn't it? You know that. Ekadasha Skandam is completely the self-realization of Yadu by hearing from Dattatreya Maharshi, the 24 spiritual masters in the Bhagavadam, isn't it? So whole of Bhagavata's system, Bhagavata Sampradayam is like that. Bhagavatam is the history of the devotees. Yadu was a devotee. And he is also a Bhagavatam. He is called a Bhagavatam. And who has got the experience of Srimad Bhagavatam. He is a person who has experienced it. Therefore, that Yadu Amsham, that Yadu's race, Krishna has appeared. So, here, Parikshit is saying, talk to me about Krishna who appeared in the Yadu's family. That is why you will see in the next verse, that in the second verse you will see, Yadoscha dharma shilasya nidaram munisattama tatrayamshe avadirnasya vishnor viryanisham sanam. Second verse, Yadoscha dharma shilasya nidaram munisattama tatram shena vadirnasya vishnor viryanisham sanam. Yadoscha dharma shilasya. That Srimad Bhagavatam is Vishnor Viryani Shamsana is Vishnor Viryani, Vishnu's Leela. Parishi says, Vishnu's Leela. So, Krishna Leela he want to hear, but when he is asking, he is Vishnor Viryani, he says. So, he spoke to Sudev, Parishi spoke to Sudev Goswami, saying to him, talk to me Krishna's stories, Vishnu's stories, in other words. So, you personalities like you, Sukadeva Goswami, you have got the remedy for this disease of material existence. Because he is a Sarvasanga Parityagi, isn't it? Completely given up all connections with this world. And you, personalities like yourself, he says to Sukadeva Goswami, wanders around the whole creation singing about the glories of Krishna. So, people who are liberated, Jivan Mukta they are called, they don't have any other desires left in them. Only we have so many plans in us, isn't it? So many plans we have about future, what will happen, making arrangements all the time in life. Even we are paid for the funeral, haven't we? Even we have paid for the funeral. Some people are so particular about that. I'm not making a joke, but the fact is that they want to plan to such an extent They want to make sure that the funeral has been paid off so that I don't give any trouble to anyone. That you don't have to depend on the state or anybody else to pay for the funeral. And there is all these funeral companies also saying, offering you all kinds of special offers. If you book now, you get a better rate in advance. Yeah. Look at the ignorance in the person. Look at that. This is the society we are in. And this is catching up everywhere. Just like insurance, yeah? Insurance is another business like this. Everything has to be insured. You can insure body part by part, liver, kidney, heart, brain, all you insure. Apart from fridge, microwave, television, computers, all that insured. And some people are so conscious of this insurance that they have insured everything and they are still thinking, is there any more else to insure now? Is there anything else I have left out in the list, my insurance list? This is what, how we are. This is how we are. Everything must be insured, isn't it? Including the funeral. Funeral also we have paid. Now everything has been done. Life is very nice now. Everything is peaceful now. Because I'm insured. I paid for my funeral even. So the children don't have to bother about it. So that's why it says here that this kind of mind, which thinks for them, Nivrta darshayir ubagiyamana bhava ushadi chotramano bhirama. There is no concern at all what happens after death. There is no insurance for that, unfortunately. So therefore there is no worry also because of that. So Sudeva Goswami, when at this stage was a little bit doubtful what to say to Parikshit, because 9 cantos he has spoken, and at that time, in a very silent way, Sudeva Goswami asked a question to Parikshit. In a very silent way. Parikshit, you have told me, asked me to talk about Krishna, isn't it? Who is this Krishna we want to hear about? Who is this Krishna? Which Krishna story you want me to tell you? Which Krishna story you want me to tell you? And what is Krishna's form? How does he... What is his... What is the swarupam of Krishna? What is his form? Why so much taste for hearing about Krishna? Have you got any connection with Krishna before? He's asking. Parikshit is answering, I don't have a direct connection with Krishna. He says there. But because all devotees, they will never reveal their relationship with Krishna. This is the secret. No devotee will tell you what relationship he has got with Krishna. No devotee will say this, that this is my relationship with Krishna. And Parikshit had a relationship with Krishna, but Parikshit won't reveal that to even to Sudeva Goswami. Although Sudeva Goswami knows very well everything what's going on inside Parikshit also. So, what he says there, if you look at Parikshit's answer at that time in the Bhagavatam, you will see there, not that the Krishna I am familiar with, not the Krishna I am familiar with, but Krishna whom my granddad knows. My granddad knows Krishna. I don't know him, he says. In fact, Parikshit has seen Krishna inside the womb and he has not forgotten. But he's not saying that. He says, the granddad who knew Krishna, he has spoken to me about him. That's why in the 5th verse, if you look, you'll see there. Pitamahame samaramaranjayem aranjayer devavradadhyadiradai stimingalai duratyavam kauravasainyasagaram krutuadaran valsavanam smayatplavaha. Pitamahame samaremaranjayem Deva Vradadhyadiradai Stimingalehi Krituadaran Valsavadam Smayatplava Duratayam Kaurava Sainyasagaram Krituadaran Valsavadam Smayatplavaham. That is how Parikshit talks about Krishna. He didn't say, I saw Krishna in the womb and I want to hear about him. Instead, he said like this. In this manner. Yudhishthira Pidamaha means he refers to all the Pandavas. They are all his grandparents, isn't it? Who? Yudhishthira, Bhima, Arjuna, Nakula, Sahadeva, all of them. They all fought the battle in Kurukshetram. They all fought the battle, Mahabharata war. And Pandavas had 7 Achauhini. You know what that means, isn't it? Achauhini in the Bhagavad Gita also spoken. The number of chariots, infantry, cavalry. There is a list there, given there. Prabhupada has mentioned that in the Bhagavad Gita. What a Achauhini? Just something like you can say a division in the army or a 100,000 people is a division in the modern army. Similarly, he had 7 Achauhini. One Achauhini had something like 21,870 chariots and so much infantry, cavalry, like that. They have a number of, a certain number. You can understand it like that. So, Pandavas had 7 Achauhini on their side. And and the Kauravas, they had 11 Achauhini. In other words, Kauravas were almost 4 Achauhinis more they had than the Pandavas. So when they were all present there, and when they looked at that, he says here, Kaurava Sainya Sagaram. Just by looking, you could see that the Kauravas were much more bigger in number. Army was much more bigger than in number. It was like a big ocean, the number of people in the Kaurava side. That's why he says here, Kaurava Sainya Sagaram. He says, Kaurava Sainya Sagaram. On the other hand, Pandava's army was a smaller group compared to that. When you compare them with that ocean, it was like a river. It was like a river. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, if you look, the same situation, how Duryodhana saw, that also you should bring it here and look at it that way. What did Bhagavad Gita say? Bhagavad Gita says there that the, if you look into Bhagavad Gita verses, first chapter, 10th verse, it says there, Duryodhana's experience of the army, how he was seeing the army there. He says, Aparyaptam, the 10th verse in the first chapter, Aparyaptam tadasmagam belam bhishma bhirakshidam paryaptam to idam edesham belam bhima bhirakshidam. Aparyaptam tadasmagam belam bhishma bhirakshidam paryaptam to idam edesham belam bhima bhirakshidam. He says, our strength is immeasurable. That means Kaurava's strength is immeasurable. And we are perfectly protected by grandfather Bhishma. Bhishma is in charge, commandant, isn't it? Whereas the strength of the Pandavas, carefully protected by Bhima, is limited. This is Duryodhana saying this. Duryodhana is saying like this. That estimation by Duryodhana. Duryodhana is estimating it like that. So, here also you can see that, that in the same way, that Duryodhana is feeling, he compared his army and the Pandava's army. As soon as he compared, he notices something very interesting. He says that our army is big, protected by Bhishma, it's very good. And I can see the army protected by the other side, protected by Yudhishthira. Balam Bhishma Abhirakshitam, Bhima. He says Bhima. Because Drona's, Duryodhana's number one enemy is Bhima. Not Arjuna, not Yudhishthira. It's Bhima, he wants to take the revenge. So Balam Bhima Abhirakshitam, he says. Bhima is on the other side. Said, but still he is saying, looking at these armies, I still find there is something lacking in our side. Something is lacking in on our side. And on the other side, I find it is complete. Although his army was big and Pandava's army was smaller, when he looked at the army, he got this impression that his own army, in spite of its number, larger number, higher number, he still felt that it is not complete. Whereas the army on the Pandava side is complete, he says. So, ayanishu ja sarveshu yadha bhagam avasthida bhishmam eva abhirakshandu bhavanda sarvamevahi. And because of that, he was still experiencing, feeling this the insufficiency on the Pandavas, on the Kaurava side. He's saying you should all protect, give full support to Bhishma and help him in fighting this battle. That experience is that what was the reason that Duryodhana felt like that? The reason was this, that on the Pandava side, there was that Purna Vastu there, isn't it? When Krishna says to Arjuna and Duryodhana, they came both asking for Krishna's support. Krishna told Duryodhana, you can take my army, let them stay with you. Arjuna said, I'm happy if you stay with me. Why did that happen? Because Krishna is Purna Vastu. Purna Vastu means it's complete. Om Purnavadam Purnamidam Purnam 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 it is. Udachyate. And whatever, when that Purnam, complete thing is there, there is no shortage there. That's why when Duryodhana looked, he still felt that from his side there is something still not there. Whereas on the other side he says, although it is small in number, it looks as though it's complete. Duryodhana is not fully confident still he is going to win the war. That doubt inside, in Duryodhana's mind. So, Parikshit is saying here, that huge ocean of what? Kaurava army. Pandavas managed to kill them all. How did they do that? How do they do that? Dravnyastra viplushtamidam viplushtamidam madangam sandhanabijam kurupandavanam jugova kukshim gadamata chakro madushchameya sharanam gadayaha. Then dravnyastram in the earlier race, you can see Devavrata dhyadiradai stimingalehi. Devavrata is who? Bhishma. Devavrata dhyadiradai stimingalehi. Devavrata and all are like whales. Whales means very huge and big, powerful persons. All those great warriors in the Kaurava side. And how Arjuna and the Pandavas managed to win the battle against them, it was a surprise for Parikshit. Parikshit says, they managed to do that only by Krishna's help. Otherwise it would have never happened. So, keeping Krishna as the captain of the ship, they managed to cross that ocean of Kauravas, who are present there in that huge army, who are present there. So here, we have to see all these things, why it is spoken in this poetic way. So, samsara samudram, our material existence is also an ocean, isn't it? It is an ocean. Material existence is an ocean. Why it's an ocean? We take birth, we die, we take birth, we die, we take birth, we die. It keeps going one after the other. In other words, we are stuck in this cycle of birth and death. And therefore it is called samsaram. While living in this world, in any body, you experience this fourfold miseries, birth, death, old age and disease. Birth, death, old age and disease is with us. There is no choice there, isn't it? Any body, if you accept here, you have to accept these four kinds of miseries, birth, death, old age and disease. And so long as you are in that, you are stuck in this samsara samudram. Samsara samudram means the ocean of material existence. You are in there. So this you will see there in the Bhishma Stuti. Bhishma, when he glorifies Krishna, Anudam Budihi, he says, Anudam Budi. So this ocean is not real. Which one? The cycle of birth and death is not real. It's not a real thing, isn't it? It is real for us now. Why? Because we have identified with the body, the mind, the intelligence, and ego, everything. Therefore, it appears to us as real. It is real if you are in identification with the body. It's not real if you are identifying with the soul. That's why Krishna says there, isn't it? Bandho mukta idi vyakhya gunato me na vastuda. It is not the truth. From the absolute platform, there is no material world. There is no material life. There is no material body. There is no material misery. From the absolute platform. Why? On the spiritual platform, where is the material body? On the spiritual platform, where is the mind? If you have the body and the mind only, then you can experience the miseries of this world. Isn't it? So Krishna says in the Ekadasha Skandam, of course it's spoken from a very higher level. Ordinary person, when he reads that, he'll get confused. He'll think, why Krishna is saying like this? Krishna is saying, gunasya maya mulatval, name moksho na bandhanam. There is no bondage, there is no liberation. But what do we pray to Krishna? We pray to Krishna, I don't want to take birth again in this world. Krishna is telling us there is no such thing called birth and death. They are also a problem. Many times devotees say that I had enough in this life, I don't want to take birth again. Everybody will say, all devotees will say like that, isn't it? We don't want to take birth again. And somehow or the other, we want to escape from this cycle of birth and death. Krishna is saying, there is no such thing called birth and death. So when Krishna is saying to us, we have to accept it because it's spoken from the spiritual platform, not from the bodily level like we are praying. We are praying from the bodily platform. Krishna is answering from the spiritual platform. Krishna is telling us from the spiritual platform. That is why Bhishma Stuti, he says there in Bhishma's prayers, Anrudam Bhudi, this ocean of material existence is actually a false thing. It doesn't exist. Why? Bhishma is self-realized. He has realized his self, and then he looks back and he see, he's thinking that, what was I thinking about all these years, cycle of birth and death, I was frightened of it all the time. I have to take another body, come back again here. But as soon as self-realization happens, like Bhishma's experience, when Bhishma is glorifying Krishna, he's saying this, he's a jnani, isn't it? Bhishma is a jnani. When he says that, he says to Krishna that I can see that this material existence, the ocean of material existence, the poets explain it like, we also call that samsara dhavan analitha loka, he says. Samsaram is a wild forest fire. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur compares it like that. Samsara dhavan analitha loka. That's how we pray. Our prayers are, isn't it? Tranaya karunya ghanaghanattvam praptasya kalyana gunarnavasya vande guru shri charanaravindam. I take the shelter of the lotus feet of my spiritual master for the sake of to crossing over this experience, this samsara, material existence, which is like a wild forest fire. This is the Guru Vaishnava first verse. So everywhere, samsaram, people are frightened about that. Means material existence, people are frightened about that. So when Lord Brahma came to glorify Krishna in the prison with other demigods, they all came to glorify Krishna. Brahma mentioned there about this material existence and about crossing the material existence and everything. And he also said there that many, many great devotees have crossed this ocean of material existence. They all had their own individual boat. They all had their own individual boat. Using that boat, they have crossed this river. They crossed this ocean. They all crossed the ocean using their own boat. What does it mean? Personalities like any great devotee, if you take Villamangalam for example, his boat was Krishna Karnamadam. That was his boat, glorifying Krishna in their own way. So all great devotees, they have crossed that ocean using their own boat. But only thing is, when they have crossed the ocean, they left the boat here back. on the same side when before they left. In other words, they left back the boat what they have used to cross the ocean for others to use it if they want to use it. Why? When they realized it, there was no ocean to cross. When they came to realize that there was no ocean to cross. In other words, when self-realization happened, they understood that there is nothing required. Similarly, spiritual realization is like that. As soon as self-realization happens, you will understand that this material world is also false, material existence is also false, material miseries are also false. Everything is because of the identification with the body and the mind. As soon as you have escaped from this body and the mind, all the miseries are gone along with it. The importance of self-realization. Importance of self-realization. So, and then at that time, you realize it, that there is no ocean to cross, there is no distress, what is left there is only happiness, bliss. Bliss is the nature of the soul. So, they have krutva daran valsavadam smayat pravaham. That how did they cross that ocean, the Pandavas, the ocean of this Kaurava army? How did they cross that? Krutva daran valsavadam smayat pravaham. That just like there is water in the calf's hoof, which is a very small water, how one can easily jump over that? Similarly, this big ocean of Kaurava army, they managed to get over it because of Krishna's help. Because of Krishna's help. So, talk to me about that Krishna who has created that situation for Pandavas. He said like that. So, in other words, saying to Sudeva Goswami, Parishad is saying that talk to me about the mercy Krishna has shown to my granddads, all of them, Pandavas, all the Pandavas. So, sometimes devotees also say like that, in the family, so many grandfathers, grandmothers, they have all taken Krishna's shelter and they got Krishna's mercy also. People will remember like that in certain instances. That is not... Now here, Parishita has talked about her granddad's history, isn't it? He did not... That is not enough. He requires the direct touch. Direct touch is required. So, Sudeva Goswami didn't say anything at that point. That... Did you not have a direct contact with Krishna? So, Sudeva Goswami's question was like that. So, so he says here, and you had direct contact with Krishna before, haven't you? In that way, Sudeva Goswami was looking at Parishad. So, Parishad Parishad says there that I had the opportunity to see Krishna, but that has only happened due to my mother, due to my mother. So, before I saw my mother, I saw Krishna. Before I saw my mother's face, I have seen Krishna's face. Isn't it? Inside the womb, before Parishad came out, he has already seen Krishna inside the womb. So, even before I saw my mother, I have seen Krishna's face. So, while I was in mother's womb, I saw that divine form, Krishna's form. So, actually, Krishna initiated Parishad. Krishna initiated Parishad inside the womb. That's what has happened. Therefore, sometimes Parishad is addressed as Garbha Shriman, one who got initiated in the womb. One who got initiated in the womb. So, that is why when you will see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Uttaradevi felt that burning sensation inside the womb, she said to Krishna, Pahi Pahi Mahayogin Deva Deva Jagalpade Nanyam Tvadhavayam Pashel Yatra Mrityu Parasparam Pahi Vahi Mahayogin. Uttaradevi's surrender in the Srimad Bhagavatam is famous. Uttaradevi saw all the Pandavas were standing there. When Ashwatthama sent the Brahmastram to kill the last living being in the Pandava race, he wanted to finish them up. The whole race he wanted to kill. So when he sent Brahmastram to the womb of Uttaradevi to kill Parishad inside, Uttaradevi felt that sensation inside, the burning sensation, and she felt that the baby is dead. Baby was dead, practically dead. So she straight away ran. Krishna was standing there and fell at Krishna's feet and told Krishna, Pahibahi Mahayogin, Mahayogin, addressing Krishna, Mahayogin means is a yogis of yogi, yogi of all the yogis, Yogeshwareshwara. Uddhava addresses Krishna like that. Yogeshwareshwara, Pahibahi Mahayogin, what else? Devadeva Jagalpade, Jagalpade, or the Lord of the Universe. Nanyam tuadhavayam pashel, I have no other shelter to look into in this present situation. I'm not going to look for shelter anywhere else. Why? Yatra mrityu parasparam, that mrityu, death is right here in front of me. He's killing that child inside and I'm finished. At one point when Abhimanyu died in the battle, so Uttaradevi also wanted to jump into the fire and finish her life. Finish her life. That was the personalities these days. Their strict adherence to dharmam and their strong faith in spirituality was so strong. Remember that incident we mentioned about Yoga Vasishtam? That in that particular kingdom, when they came to know that a Chandala has become the king, all the people in that in that kingdom wanted to kill themselves. Isn't it? When a Chandala became the king, the subjects, they all felt so bad that they wanted to kill themselves. They wanted to kill themselves. And the Brahmanas immediately left the kingdom and went away to Benares and other places to perform Chandrayana Vratam to purify themselves for living in the kingdom of a Chandala. If it is like that, what do you say about today? We shouldn't be living actually. That is, strictly speaking, we shouldn't be living in the kingdoms like the way it is today. Wherever it is in the world today, it is like that. That is how they were conscious of who ruled the kingdom. If the king is no good, we shouldn't live there. This is the principle. Can you imagine that? That standard of culture and the standard of consciousness like that. Because if king is religious, Chandala means basically wanted to say this, that he was not following the Vedic principles. In other words, so degraded, that's all it meant that way. And when the truth came out that he was a Chandala, immediately all the people left the kingdom. And when Yoga Vasishtam says this, so Yoga Vasishtam is one of the famous Vedanta Prakaranam. So there they are saying that is how the people were, just to see the people's nature in them days. Many of them says we couldn't live anymore like this, and they committed suicide straight away. Left this world, they didn't want to stay. And Brahmanas all ran away from there. They said, we don't want to know anymore about this king. But today, what chance have we got? We just watch, sit and watch. News of the world, news of this, news of that. We keep on watching television. And the interesting thing is that if something goes wrong with one, everybody pounces on them. And these ones who are pouncing, they are also in the same boat. They are not much different than the other one. That is the most interesting thing. They are saying that, oh, you are the one who have done this. You alone are responsible for the whole thing. We are all very perfect gentlemen. We are perfect gentlemen. Once it so happened, this is an interesting thing. In Ravana Maharshi's ashram once, when Maharshi was there, there was one person in that ashram who was very, very poor. Very poor means he used to work in the field outside and make a living like that, and he came to the ashram. When he came to the ashram, Ravana Maharshi told him, you can help in the kitchen, do some work like that. So Ramakrishna was his name. He was helping in the kitchen, in the ashram. Unfortunately, due to his purva vasana, previous tendencies, he developed some relationship with a woman in the town, in Thiruvannamalai town. And this came to know by a lot of people in the ashram. And in the ashram there were highly qualified people, you know, professors and doctors and all who were come there to hear from Maharshi, and they were also living there. So all of them came to know that this person has gone and did something which was not proper. Let's put it that way. He did something. So what happened was, when this happened, the intellectual class or the more highly so-called cultured and all that group in the ashram, they got together and they felt that what he has done is really bad. They pounced on him and said, "You created a bad name for the ashram," they said to him. "You created a bad name for him." But they were hesitant to tell Maharshi about this. They were waiting for an opportunity how to present it to him. So one morning, when Maharshi was there, a group of them chose one leader among them to go and present it to Maharshi, to tell him that he has done such and such a thing. We should not keep him in the ashram. We should throw him out from the ashram, because he's created so much bad name for all of us. It's not proper like that. So this professor goes to Maharshi and says to him that we shouldn't be keeping that person in the ashram. He has done such a wrong thing and gone and done this, developed this relationship with somebody, some prostitute or something like that. And it created such a bad name for us. People are talking about us, all these things, he said. Maharshi didn't say anything, one word. After a while, he called this man, Ramakrishna, and he says to him, "Ramakrishna, you are just an idiot. All these people who are coming and telling me, they are very expert to cover up everything. You did not know how to cover it up, what you were doing. That's the only difference," he said. Normally, and it's the same situation in this world all the time if you look. Some people think that we are all very clean. Somebody else, where was when all the bank crisis happened, all these people were pouncing upon them, what were their honesty and truthfulness? Where was that? Similarly, when expense scandal happened, where was the honesty in all that? So all these people who are pouncing on the news of the world, I'm not saying news of the world is right. What I'm saying is that their morality is all like this. That one who has moral can dictate morality to somebody else. But when nobody is moral, what do you do? So that is, that consciousness is the most difficult thing to understand in the world. Inquiry after inquiry, they are saying Prime Minister should go, this man should go, that man should go, senior officers in the police is running, leaving because of all this. But they are not the only one. The whole spectrum is full of people like that. Where do you find one which is different? If you find one, they will not allow him to stay, they'll throw him out from there. Either they'll kill him or they'll throw him out from there. This is how it is. Serious the situation is. Because such things shouldn't happen in administration, therefore it was that high values were upheld by the society. Varnashrama Dharma brings all these things into life, isn't it? This is the benefit of Varnashrama Dharma. It will not happen like that. When there is no Varnam, Varnashram, no Ashram, everybody is equal, standard will drop straight away. Standard will drop straight away. So, here you can see, Pahi Pahi Mahayogin Deva Deva Jagalpate Nanyam Tvadhavayam Pashyel Yatra Mrityu Parasparam. In the first canto, when this was discussed, you can see there that the Uttaradevi's prayers at that time, she says to Krishna that Abhidravadi Mamisha Sarastapta Sayo Vipo Kamam Dahadumam Nada Mame Garbho Nipatyadam. Then, Abhidravadi Mamisham Sharastaptayaso Vibho. That Brahmastram, what Ashwatthama had sent, that arrow, that Brahmastram, that was burning the child inside. Kamam Dahadu Mam Natha Mame Garbho Nipatyadam. Mame Garbho Nipatyadam. That my pregnancy is finished. Pregnancy is over. So Abhimanyu's son is living. Parikshit is living in Uttara's womb. And that Sandana Bijam Kuru Pandavanam. Sandana Bijam. That means the seed of Kuru and Pandava. Their seed is lying there. So he is the only child left among the Pandavas. So at that time, Krishna protected Parikshit by showing what is known as Brahmashirsham. Brahmashirsham. And Uttaradevi's body was burning. The heat has developed inside because of this Brahmastra. Uttara was also burning. Uttara fell into Krishna's lotus feet. And Yatra Mrityu Parasparam. So, Yatra Mrityu Parasparam means that Uttaradevi didn't go to anybody else who was standing there. Pandavas who were standing didn't go to them. Instead went to Krishna. Why? Uttaradevi says there itself, if something which I have to achieve in this world, I would have gone to Bhima, Arjuna or Yudhishthira, somebody like that. But this particular situation, when death is standing right in front of me, they can't do anything because they are also subjected to death. They are also subjected to death. So you will see earlier, Draupadi asking Bhima to bring the flowers, Kalyana Saugandhiyam, that thing, that flower she wanted Bhima to bring. Bhima went everywhere to bring it for her. Kalyana Saugandhiyam flowers, that story. That, and any other things, if you want to get something from even heavenly planets, Arjuna could have gone and got it from there. Arjuna could have got it from there. But here it is death that is standing in front of me. And that death is inside, not even outside. So that Brahmashirsham, which is the Brahmastram what he has sent, is burning now the baby inside. So straight away, Uttaradevi surrendered to Krishna. So the result of Uttaradevi's surrender to Krishna is, what is the result? Parikshit is hearing Srimad Bhagavatam here. That is the result of Uttaradevi surrender to Krishna. When Uttaradevi surrendered to Krishna, the result of that is Parikshit is hearing Srimad Bhagavatam now. Srimad Bhagavatam now. So you can see here, Mrityunjayam Mrityubhaya Shridashayam, that one, when one is experiencing death, when one knows death is at the doorstep, he has to take the shelter of that person who is beyond death. That is Krishna. Mrityunjayanam Mrityubhayashridanam, that we have to surrender there. When the death is coming, who can do anything in this world? Who can do anything in this world? Once it so happened, a person became very seriously ill. They took him to the doctor. And that person's mother was there with him. And the mother says to the doctor, please do something. And this particular operation is very, very serious. And do it somehow, save him, do what you can and all that. Doctor says to him, I will do the operation myself instead of anybody else doing it. And he will be all right after the operation. He said, I'll make sure that I do the operation myself. There were many other panel of doctors there. So the mother went personally to the senior among them, to the doctor, and requested the doctor that if you can do the operation, because it's such a critical operation, if you do it, perhaps you can escape from this death. Doctor said, I will do the operation myself, and pacified the mother. That night, the doctor got a heart attack and he died. He died. So, and the next day the patient also died. Patient also died. Yatra Mrityu Parasparam. That's what death means, isn't it? So, in case of death, nobody can give you any guarantee in this life. Nobody can tell you that I will protect you from death. So, when all of us who are in the grip of death, who are in the grip of death, that is why Uttaradevi fell into Krishna's lotus feet, that only Krishna is the shelter at the time of death. That is why Uttaradevi says here, Dravnyastra viplam viplushtamidam madangam sandana bijam kurubandavanam jugoba kukshim gadamaktra chakro madaschameya sharanam gadaya. Madaschameya, Parishita has not forgotten that incident. He brought it at this point in time, reminding Sukadeva Goswami, I have not forgotten that. When is that? Dravnyastra viplushtamidam padangam. Viplushtamidam madangam. That Dravnyastra, Dravni is Ashwathama, Drona's son. Ashwathama, when he fired that Brahmastram to burn me, to kill me. And Sandana bijam kurupandavanam. I am the only person left in that Pandava family, the last one to kill me. And Jugoba kukshim gadamata chakroho. Jugoba kukshim. Krishna came inside, cutting open Uttaradevi's stomach. Krishna got inside. Jugoba kukshim gadamata chakro. And protected me with the Sudarshanam. Sudarshanam was spinning around Parishad. Madushchameya sharanam gadayaham. And how that Sudarshanam protected me as well as my mother. Madushchameya sharanam gadayaham. Why? Because my mother has surrendered unto you. In other words, Parikshit is saying to Sukadeva Goswami, my mother had surrendered to Krishna at one time, like that. Am I not qualified to hear Srimad Bhagavatam? This is Parikshit's question. Parikshit is saying to Sukadeva Goswami, because my mother has surrendered to Krishna before, that is my qualification. That is my qualification. That credit must come to me. That if I have any credit, that is the credit. My mother has surrendered to Krishna. This is why mother surrenders to Krishna well, the result, the impact will be there on the child as well. Jugoba kukshim gadamata chakro. Madushchameya sharanam gadayaham. So after saying all that, Krishna entered into the womb of Uttaradevi. Actually, Krishna is already there, isn't it? Why? Aham vaishvanaro bhutva praninam deham ashridaham. Isn't it? Aham vaishvanaro bhutva. When we eat food, when it goes inside, who is digesting it? He is also present there also. Wherever you look in this world, Krishna is there in some form. There he is Vaishvanara. So, aham Vaishvanara bhutva praninam deham ashrida pranapanagadhi pajamyanam chaturvidham. Four kinds of food I digest in that way. Krishna says, because of my presence there, all four kinds of food gets digested. Four kinds of food gets digested. So that Krishna who is inside there, in the form of Vaishvanara, he appeared in front of Parikshit and protected him at that time, and I have seen him. So, in two personalities in the Srimad Bhagavatam, has got Krishna in the womb, which I mentioned before. Two personalities in Srimad Bhagavatam, they got Krishna inside the womb. One was Parikshit and the other one was Prahlada. When we say they got Krishna, they experienced Krishna while inside the womb. While inside the womb. We'll continue after 15 minutes. So, Parikshit and Prahlada, both of them have seen Krishna while in the womb of their mother. Their mother, isn't it? So, from within the womb, the experience of Krishna, Prahlada had. And also, Parikshit also had the same tatvajnanam. The knowledge also was given to Prahlada in the womb, if you know that, in the seventh canto. While inside Kayadhu's womb, Srinada Maharshi comes and instructs Prahlada on spiritual life, isn't it? And there, what did he instruct him about the transcendental nature of the soul? That is Krishna. That is Krishna. To talk about soul means to talking about Krishna. To talk about soul means to talk about Krishna. So, inside the womb, Parikshit had the experience, and Prahlada also had the experience of the experience of Krishna inside. They have seen Krishna, they have experienced Krishna, and also the knowledge was also given to them inside the womb. Inside the knowledge was also given inside the womb. So here Parikshit is saying, because I've seen Krishna while inside the womb, the result of that is I'm hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Because the result of that is I'm hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And if you remember, in the fifth canto, the story of Jadabharata was spoken. Jadabharata's story is famous, isn't it? And the story is famous. Because Sukadeva Goswami has a great pleasure when talking about Jadabharata story. You will notice that in the Bhagavatam. He had a great pleasure in talking about Jadabharata. Reason is that Jadabharata's story is Sukadeva Goswami's story. They are both similar, very similar personalities, both of them. And therefore, there he mentions that when he addresses Parikshit in that chapter, in the fifth canto, when he says, Uttara Mata, he says. Uttara Tanaya. In other words, Uttara is the mother. If you look in other words, you will see there. In the fifth canto, it mentions there. Shri Shuka Vajam, Ityeva Uttaramata. Uttaramata. Uttara is your mother, he says. Ityeva Uttaramata. Because you are Uttara's son. That is why he has addressed there in that way. Then, Dravnyastra Viplashtamidam Padangam Sandana Bijam Kuripandavanam. And, Jugopa Kutshem Gadamata Chakro Madhuschameya Sharanam Gadayaham. That Madhuschameya Sharanam Gadaya, that who protected me holding that Sudarshanam in the hand, and who gave me Darshanam, who appeared in front of me in that form, Madhuschameya Sharanam Gadaya. He says, Angushta Parimana, Angushta Parimanam. So when Krishna appeared inside the womb, the size was this. This was the size. Angushtam. This finger, thumb. Angushta Parimanam. In that size, Krishna appeared there. So in the ninth canto, we heard a Srimad Bhagavatam, and after that, after seeing Krishna inside the womb, Parikshit continued the administration of the planet like any other king. He ruled this world. And he fought many battles also, protected many people, punished many people, and ultimately he is sitting here cursed by the Brahmana boy Shangi, and with the curse that Tatchaga will come and bite him. And as soon as he heard this curse, immediately detachment came to Parikshit. Parikshit realized there is nothing now to think about in this world. Already he is going to leave his body. He has become fully aware of that. When one comes to become fully aware of death, what will happen first? Vairagyam will come. Isn't it? We will become detached to this world. When we come to know that we are going to die. We are not come to know yet, so we are busy still. But when we come to know that we are going to die, then all this busy life will go, stop there. It will come to a dead stop there. So that is what happened to Parikshit also. When he came to know that Tatchaga is going to bite him and he will die, when he heard that, immediately he said, nothing to do anymore with this world. It's finished. The drama is over here. So extreme renunciation happened. This happens to people who are very thoughtful and who are intelligent and who had the mercy of Krishna. Only those people will get that vairagyam. Others, what will happen? When they are told they are going to die, what they will say? Okay, let me first of all sort out all my assets. Who should get what? Whether my wills are prepared properly. or all other arrangements have been done, this is the way their mind will go, still trying to solve the problems of this world. This is what the mind will turn into. Whereas Parikshit's case, it was, that's not how it turned. It said, I have got only 7 days' time. In these 7 days, I have to get what I have to get in this life, which is Krishna. So these thoughts came to him, and as soon as Sukadeva Goswami arrived, Krishna has arranged Sukadeva Goswami to go there. And when he saw Sukadeva Goswami, and Sukadeva Goswami was ready to start speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, he says here that you will look into the first canto, you will see there what he says to Parikshit. He says to him that api me bhagavan pridam krishna pandu sudha priyah paidrishvasya priyartham tad gotrasya tabandhavah api me bhagavan pridam krishna pandu sudha priyah paidrishvasya priyartham tad gotrasya tabandhavah api me bhagavan pridam krishna is pleased with me, he says. Krishna is pleased with me. What is the proof? Because Sukadeva Goswami has come. That is the proof of Krishna's being satisfied with me. Krishna has arranged this. He says like that. So Krishna has actually blessed all our family members from all time. To my granddad, Krishna gave Bhagavad Gita. Brahma Vidya, isn't it? Knowledge of the soul. That is Bhagavad Gita. To my granddad, Krishna has shown the mercy by giving Bhagavad Gita to him. And to me, Parikshit says, Krishna has sent Sukadeva Goswami to give Srimad Bhagavatam to me. We have to be a lot grateful to that family, Pandavas. It is from the granddad we got Bhagavad Gita, and from the grandson we got Srimad Bhagavatam, isn't it? These two precious literature in this world came from Pandavas, came from the Pandavas. So we owe a great debt both to Arjuna and to Parikshit. Grandfather and the grandson. So, and because of that he says, and you have come here to give me Srimad Bhagavatam to me. And I never thought that, I always thought that seeing Krishna while inside the womb will never go to waste. Will never go to waste. So, many people have got this vision of Krishna, but I got the vision while inside the womb itself. That's all. Now only I realize the importance of that, he says. So, that is the reason why I am hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, please tell me Srimad Bhagavatam, he says. So, nine cantos were spoken in that way. Now, Sukadeva Goswami has looked at Parikshit in a very meaningful way. In a very meaningful way. Why? Why is that meaningful look? Because he is saying, tell me about Krishna. What is Krishna? Krishna's nature. And at that point, Parikshit understood that Sukadeva Goswami means something more than this, more than all these things. When he's asking, which Krishna you want me to talk about? That is why he says, the next verse you will see in the Bhagavatam, Viryani tasya akhila deha bhajam andarbahi purusha kala rupaihi prayachado mrtyumrudamrtam cha maya manushyasya vadasa vidvan. That is the key verse there. Viryani tasya akhila deha bhajam andarbahi purusha kala rupaihi prayachado mrtyumrudamrtam cha maya manushyasya vadasa vidvan. Krishna's position is that. That is Upanishad. You see how Sukadeva Goswami asked questions to Parikshit, and eventually from Parikshit that Upanishad's knowledge is coming out. After speaking about Krishna, eight cantos, talking about Krishna, in Krishna's real identity, who Krishna is, what is this Krishna? We're talking about Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. What is Krishna? That is what was spoken in the eighth canto, which you will see there. Upanishad's knowledge, that is gone inside Parikshit. And when here, when he asked, Sudeva Goswami asked, which Krishna you want me to talk about? First he said that, oh, my grandfather who was saved by Bhagavad Gita, and who spoke Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has spoken. And now you have come in front of me because Krishna has sent you here to talk to me, Srimad Bhagavatam. But Sudeva Goswami was satisfied, not satisfied with that answer. He wanted to get that proper answer from Parikshit. Who is that Krishna you are referring to? And that is when Sudeva Goswami, Parikshit is answering with that verse. Viryanitasya akila deha bhajan andarbahi purusha kala rupaihi prayachado mrtyamrtamrtam cha maya manushyasya vadasya vidvan. Krishna's position, that is Krishna. That is Krishna. What is so important about that? Maya manushyasya vadasya vidvan. Krishna is not like us. Maya manushyasya. He has, under the cover of maya, he is appearing in front of us. Under the cover of maya. Not revealing his true identity. That is why when Krishna was present here, many people did not know who Krishna is. They did not know who Krishna is. They thought he is one, somebody like us, somebody like them. And that is why Krishna has taken that cover of maya. Maya manushyasya vadasya vidvan. That is what he is saying here. That though maya manushyasya vadasya vidvan, that Krishna came here, appeared in front of us, and performed several pastimes. How? By taking that shelter of Vaishnavi Maya. Shelter means taking the cover of Vaishnava Maya. Vaishnavi Maya. What is Krishna Swarupam? What is Krishna? Akhila Deha Bhajam. One who is present in everyone. That is Krishna. So there also, that is knowledge. That is the knowledge. So you can see, when self-realization happens to a person, Parikshit also is saying there, Krishna is not just that person who came here to save me from the womb, in the womb, or who spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna in the battlefield of Kurukshetram. Rather, Krishna should be seen, Viryani tasya akhila deha bhajam andarbahi purusha kala rupaihi. Inside and outside, andarbahi, andarbahi purusha kala rupaihi. Inside Krishna is present as what? Purusha, Purusha, super soul, Andaryami inside. Andarbahi, outside is present as what? Kalam, time, isn't it? Everything is outside is under the control of time. Time is Krishna, isn't it? Why? Under the control of time, everything in this world gets wiped out. Everybody, all the matter, the creation, and living entities, everyone gets thrown away from here under the control of time. Krishna is present outside as time, inside as Andaryami, as the super soul inside. So he says here, inside, so, and he is present in Andarbahi Purusha Kala Rupaihi, then Prayachado Mrtyu Mrtamrtam Cha Maya Manushyasya Vadasya Vidvan. That Maya Manushyan who has come like that in the cover of Maya and who is present in everyone, every living entity inside, he is present. That is the most important factor there to take note of. Krishna's presence in everyone. And without Krishna's presence, nothing moves in this world. So therefore, so in other words, what Krishna says here, that our body, where Krishna is present inside, if the mind go inward looking, in the heart you will experience Krishna. That's where one has to experience Krishna. If one sense andarbahi purusha kala rupaihi, andarbahi, in other words, Krishna is inside, andar, and Krishna is outside, bahi, outside also, purusha kala rupaihi, that realization is to be inside. Is to be inside. The realization of Krishna has to happen inside us. Inside us. So, Krishna is present, vyapyaha, inside Narayana sthitaha. Inside and outside is present there. Inside and outside is present. Or not only inside, outside also. But then the question will come, is it not sufficient if you look for him outside? If you look for him outside. But, is it not sufficient if you keep on looking for him outside? The reason is, if you look outside, Krishna is present in the form of death outside. That's what you see Krishna here. In the outside, you see him as death. And inside, if you look, you will see him as nectar. You see the words they have used there. Prayachado mrityu amrudo amrudo prutyam udamrudam cha. Prayachado mrityu. Outside, if you look, you will only see Krishna as death. Why do we say like that? Because when death happens, you feel helpless. Isn't it? When somebody dies, you have nothing you can do. Death comes and takes you away. And it says sudden closing the shutter. Isn't it? Shutter is closed for that person. So outside, that's what you find everywhere, death. Prayachado mrityum. That mrityu outside, that is Krishna. So if you want to see Krishna outside, you can see him as death. If you want to see Krishna inside, mrityu udam amrudam cham, that is the soul inside. He is the nectar. The soul is the consciousness. In other words, is bliss. Knowledge, existence, satta, chitta, anandam, isn't it? That is the soul, nature of the soul. Therefore, you should search for Krishna inside and not outside. This is the... Somehow or the other, our attention has to go inward. Krishna is present inside. He is present outside. But here, you can only realize him as death. Death personified. That is Krishna outside. But inside, you can realize him as Satchidanandam, Satya Chitan. You can experience him in that way. That is why, here in this verse, Parikshit is saying to Sukadeva Goswami, when he wanted to ask this question, what is Krishna? He says, Viryani tasya akhila deha bhajam, andarbahi purusha kala rupaihi, prayaccha mrityu madamrdamcha, maya manushyasya vadasa vidvan, prayaccha do mrityu madamrdamcha, maya manushyasya vadasa vidvan. So, therefore, inside and outside, as inside as nectar, you can experience Krishna as nectar, amrutam, inside. Outside you can experience as death. So one has to choose, where do you want to experience Krishna, inside or outside? That is what the question here. If you want to experience Krishna as nectar, you can experience him inside. If you want to experience Krishna as death, you can experience him outside. Prayachado matyumada amrutam cha maya manushyasya vadasa vidvan. It is that Krishna, that is Krishna's form. Parishad says this to Sukadeva Goswami. So, actually, famous commentators on Bhagavadam, they have mentioned this also, that in the hot weather, in the hot conditions, someone went to see a Mahatma in Vrindavanam. Ahananda Swami, he is not there anymore. Long ago, he lived in Vrindavanam. A great devotee, famous in Vrindavanam, in the past. When he went to see him, that very, very hot weather at that time, so told him, you come inside. Person was standing outside. Maharaj told him, you come inside. He said to him, it was too hot outside. So, andarbahi purusha kala rupaihi. So he used to say, come inside. But he was saying that, go and look for Krishna inside, not outside anymore, don't stay outside. So he used to give that example all the time, that outside is not where you search for Krishna. You search for Krishna inside. He is present there. That is where you have to search for him. Everything outside dies. Nashwaram. Temporary it is, isn't it? So, you go and get hold of anything in this world outside. Ultimately, you will see, one day it will cheat you. It will cheat you one day. Family members, society, or any material object in this world, one day it will cheat you. It will cheat you and it will go. It will cheat you and go. whether it is personality or whether it is individuals or any objects. And if you desire anything in outside world, one day or the other you will have to suffer. You will have to suffer from that. That is definite. There is no question about that. That is the very nature of the world outside, isn't it? Sometimes we will know that. We will develop some close relationship with anyone. One day he goes or she goes. That's it, finished. That relationship is over. Similarly, wealth. Anything you see in the world outside, none of them will stay. They will all leave and go. Whether it is wealth, whether it's fame, whether it's followers, whether it is family, whatever it may be, nothing will stay. They will all go. They all have to go. So, no matter how great a personality is and how good a person is, if you take the shelter of a person or if you take shelter of any object, it will create distress at the end. So, and that is what is called mrityu. What mrityu means that it's not only a person dying. Everything in the world will die in one form or the other. Whether it is an object or whether it's a person, eventually it has to die. It has to go. Connection has to break with us. So therefore, outside, any connection with this world will end up in distress. Any connection with the world will end up in distress. So outside, therefore, he says Kalapurusha. He is called Kalapurushan. Kalapurushan means time personified. He comes as time and takes away everything. Prayachado mrityumudamrdam cha maya manushyasya vadasa vidvan. It happens like that. So, whereas, if you experience Krishna inside, it is a continuous experience of bliss, even after leaving the body. That is, these things we have to understand. Bhagavatam is not just saying some stories. Bhagavatam is telling how self-realization must happen. If you experience the soul inside, what happens? With self-realization, what Sachidananda realization, or in other words, that Aham Brahmasmi state, that never leaves you. Whereas any realization outside this body, it will leave you one day. Whatever relationship you have in this world, it will go. Because it's all subjected to death. Whereas any realization of Krishna inside, if you have realized it will remain. It will stay forever. It will never leave. It will never go. It will stay. Isn't it? Sachidanandam, the perfect realization is inside. Self-realization happens. So, inside he is nectar, amrtacham. In the Bhagavad Gita also, if you look, you will see there, Ahamalpa Gudagesha. Krishna is saying there, realize me like this, he says, Ahamalpa Gudagesha, Sarva Bhudashayastida, Aham Adhyamcha Madhyamcha, Aham Adhyamcha Madhyamcha Bhudanam Andamevacha. In the 8th chapter, I think, Krishna says that, Aham Alpa Gudagesha, I am present in everyone as the soul. Aham Alpa Gudagesha. Where Sarva Bhudashayastida. In all living entities, I am present inside as the soul. Aham, I am, Krishna says, Adhyamja, I am the beginning. Madhyamja, I am the middle. Bhudanam Andamevacha, I am the end also of all the living entities. Aham Adhyamja Madhyamja, Bhudanam Andamevacha. In other words, in everyone's heart, constantly telling us, aham, 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 that sound inside, aham, 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 that is Krishna and that is Krishna's manifestation inside us. So that inside our heart, inside us, that thing which never gets destroyed, who is a witness and who is the Andaryami inside, that Swarupam, that is, as I mentioned before, that in Sanskrit language, they have given this special, even in the grammar, the spirituality has gone in, including the grammar. Normally in grammar you don't teach spirituality, do you? But in Sanskrit grammar, spirituality has entered there also. That when we have in English first person, second person, third person, like that. I am the first person, you are the second person, and he is the third person. Like that, isn't it? In Sanskritam, in Sanskrit it is Pradhama Purusha, Madhyama Purusha, Uttama Purusha. The third person is Uttama Purusha, best among them. Why? He is the one, the Supreme Lord. Krishna is addressed like that. Uttama Purusha is addressed like that. Uttama Purusha Stanya, that verse in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So, actually, first person, second person, third person. Pradhama Purushan, Dvitiya Purushan, Tritiya Purushan, it should be. But he is not addressed like that. In the Sanskrit grammar, Pradhama Purushan, first person, I am. Second Purushan, Dvitiya Purushan, second person. Third person, instead of Tritiya Purushan, he is addressed as Uttama Purushan, best among the three, the third person. Third person is the best. Uttama Purushan, he is saying. Why? Because he is Krishna, the third person, who is present inside. Pradhama Purushan is me. Second, Dvitiya Purushan is he. Third person, he. So, these three, first person, second person, third person, when it comes to Sanskrit grammar, it is Pradhama Purushan, Madhyama Purushan, second person, and Uttama Purushan as the third person. So, Uttama Purushan, Aham Bhano. So, that Chaitanyam, that living force inside, he is present inside as the soul, and the nature of that is Amrutam. Amrutam means nectar, isn't it? Amrutas Swarupam. That is his Swarupam. His identity is nectar. So, he says here, Prayachada Omrtimrda Amrutam Cha Maya Manushyasya Vadasya Vidvan. So, in other words, experiencing Krishna means what? What does that mean? Experiencing Krishna means? Experiencing Krishna means experiencing that nectar inside. Krishna, who is present inside as the soul. So, while living inside this body, not experiencing death. While living inside this body, to experience, not to experience death. That is called self-realization. You may be living in this body, but you are already experiencing no such thing called death. Never experiencing death inside this body. That is that state. That so, while living inside this body, experiencing your identity, which is not touched by death. Finding this out, experience of this state, where you don't experience death anymore, while staying within this body, that is what is called that amrutam, the nectar experience, what is referred to in the Bhagavatam. That means while living within this body, we have to realize it here and experience that there is no such thing called death. That is what is mentioned here. There is no such thing called death. So, whichever way you may glorify Krishna, whichever way you may worship Krishna, and whichever way you may glorify Krishna, ultimately this experience has to come. This experience has to come. Among the Maharashtrian saints, there is this what they known as the Warkari Sampradaya. They have all the great Maharashtrian sons, great devotees, Tukaram, Namadev, Janishwar, Ekanath, all of them. So, and it was actually started by Janishwar. Janishwar was the great personality from whom that tradition started. So, there is two books which are very authoritative. Janishwar has compiled. One is famous Janishwari, which is Janishwar's Bhagavad Gita commentary. It's famous, it is all translated into all the languages. Janishwari. And the other one is the Amrutanubhavam, which Janishwari has spoken. The nectar, experience of the nectar, that's the title, Amrutanubhavam. And in that book, he says here, that Amrutanubhavam, and experiencing that a soul as nectar, as a nectar. Practically, Janishwari is telling us that self-realization is nectar. Self-realization is like drinking nectar. It's something you are experiencing continuously. So, says here, Viryani tasyagila deha bhajam andarbahi purusha kalarupaihi. And prayachado mrtyu mudamudam cha maya manushyasya vadasa vidvan. So you can see here, after speaking these seven verses, ultimately Parikshit says, I want to experience Krishna in that way, as inside as the soul, and experience that soul in its pure consciousness. That is the final words from Parikshit to Sudev Goswami. So you will see here that there is no other way, that mind is wandering around in this world. Mind is wandering around in the world. And it is not possible to pull this mind from the world outside and encourage the mind to absorb in the meditation of Krishna. Meditation of Krishna. Therefore he says here, except to hear about Krishna, there is no other easy process. Katha Shravanam, hearing about Krishna. Smaranda Smarayandascha. In the third chapter you will see in the 11th canto, this verse. That Smaranda Smarayandascha Mito Akhauga Harim. Smaranda Smarayandascha Mito Akhauga Haram Harim. Bhaktya Sanjadaya Bhaktya Vibratyut Pulagam Tanim. Smaranda Smarayandascha Mitha Akhaugaharam Harim. That this is the process. Process is Smaranda Smarayandascha. Remember Krishna and remind others about Krishna. Remember Krishna and remind others about Krishna. Mitha Akhaugaharam Harim. What will happen is that if you do that, that through that process, all sinful vasanas inside will be destroyed. And bhaktya sanjadaya bhaktya vibratyut pulagam tanyam. Bhaktya sanjadaya bhaktya. Speaking about Krishna, hearing about Krishna, it will develop Krishna consciousness inside. Bhakti will develop inside the heart. Bhaktya sanjadaya bhaktya. From bhakti, bhakti will develop. That is the process of bhakti. Bhaktya sanjadaya bhaktya. Vibratyut pulagam tanyam. Vibratyut pulagam tanyam. So that is what it is mentions here. Smaranda smarayandascha. Somehow or the other, hear about Krishna, remember that, and while remembering, mixed with the knowledge of Krishna. Mixed with the knowledge. We should hear the pastimes of Krishna with the full knowledge of Krishna, knowing what Krishna is. If these words, what Parikshit has spoken here, with this memory, with this remembrance of Krishna, in the way Parikshit is talking about, what is that? Parikshit is saying about Krishna, prayachado mrityumrudamrudam cha maya manushya sevadasva vidvan. Just don't see Krishna as someone who came to this world 5,000 years ago, spent his childhood and boyhood in Vrindavan and Mathura, and went to Dwaraka and spent remaining life 125 years altogether in this world, who has gone back to the Goloka Vrindavanam. Don't see Krishna like that. He says like that here. But see him who viryani tasya akhila deha bhajam andarbahi purusha kala rupaihi. All living entities in this world, he is here right now in all the living entities, present here, inside and outside. He is present in everyone in this world. That is the way one should see Krishna. Not to think that Krishna came to this world 5,000 years, we were there here, we may be here in this world at that. We were also here when Krishna was here. When Ramchandra was here, we were here. But we were in the form of a tree, or we were in the form of a snake, or what we were, we don't know what we were at that time. But we were here. There is definitely no doubt about that. We were here when Ramchandra was here, we were here. When Krishna was here, we were here. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was here, we were here at that time. We didn't have any contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that's all. It didn't happen. We may be in such a species living here, either as a dog or a cat or a tiger or what it was we were, we don't know. Something, we were here. We were here at that time, no doubt. But we had no contact with them. So that is how spiritual life is. It's not that they come and they've gone. No, we were all together. With Ramchandra was here, we were here. We were not even a monkey, otherwise we were with him. We would have joined him. Even there we didn't make a company. We were there. Somewhere we were there in this world. In some body. In some body we were present here. There is no doubt about that. We are present here in some body. What body, we don't know at the moment. But the reality is that same thing, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was here, only a certain number of people came into contact with Mahaprabhu and got freed from themselves from this life. But many others didn't make it. Many others didn't make it. So similarly, what it says here is also that Katha Shravanam, hearing Krishna, is that Viryani Tasya, that is how it should be, that realization. Always we must remember this, that Viryani Tasya Akhila Deha Vajam Andarbahi Purusha Kala Rupaihi. Most of us are thinking, when we read Bhagavatam, Krishna came 5,000 years ago and gone. After that, we are not seeing him anywhere. We don't know where he is now. Then we are inquiring, where is he now? He is in Goloka Vrindavanam. And what's happening there? How is Krishna spending his time there? And when we go there, that means there is no Krishna here as far as we are concerned now. Krishna is not here, present at the moment. He is only in Golokam, isn't it? And that is that ignorance in us. That to remove that, to see Krishna present in all living entities is very, very important. Only in that case, what will happen? When realization happens, when you start seeing Krishna in everyone, you will realize that there is no such thing called death at that moment. That is self-realization. Otherwise, we are just thinking something about something what's going to happen after death. What's going to happen after death? There is no proof at the moment to tell you that what's going to happen, anything. But advanced transcendentalists, people who are advanced in spiritual knowledge, they will say that Krishna is present here, right now, in this world. Not that he came and gone 5,000 years ago. That's not anymore valid. That point is. So therefore, Parikshit is saying to Sukadeva Goswami, Viryani tasya agila deha bhajam andar bahi purusha kala rupaihi prayachado mutimurdamadam cha maya manushyasya vadasva vidvan. That maya manushyan who covered himself with Vaishnavi maya and appeared in front of us 5,000 years ago and gone, but who is still present here inside everyone. Inside everyone as nectar, that nectar inside Krishna. Inside, who is the nectar, isn't it? That Satya-Chitta-Anandam, that is Krishna. Satya-Chitta-Anandam, Satya-Chitta-Anandam is Krishna, who is present inside everyone and who is present outside as time personified, who destroys everything outside. So therefore, self-realization is inside first. After self-realization happens inside, then what happens is, due to that self-realization, he sees that everything in this creation is Krishna. And see Krishna's presence in everything, and therefore he also realizes there is no such thing called death outside either. There is no death outside either, especially for all the other living entities. So after saying that, he says here, then again, so that Upanishad's knowledge has come through, you can see the effect of Upanishads on Parikshit at that time. Before that, what did Parikshit say? Parikshit spoke about, oh, my grandfather who was protected in battlefield of Kurukshetra, Arjuna, by Krishna, by speaking Bhagavad Gita to him, and who protected me in the womb of Uttaradevi while I was a little baby inside, whom I have seen while talked to me about Krishna. Sukadeva Goswami was not interested talking about that Krishna. Sukadeva Goswami wanted to hear about Krishna who is here right now. Right now, in this world, where is he? Where is Krishna in this world today? In everyone's heart, isn't it? So that is why he is saying that only then all this is valid. Otherwise, it's very difficult. Vedantam is today, right now, here it must happen. Not that 5,000 years ago Krishna has come and gone, and we don't know anything about him after that. Since then, we have not heard about him. That way, what is the purpose? No, God is not something to be kept in the past or for the future. God is here right now. Right now, you should experience that. That Krishna is present here in this world, in everyone's heart. He's present there. And that is the most important realization than anything else. After that comes, all the other things will follow after that. Will follow after that. So that's why he says here, Rohinyastaneya Prota Rama Sangarshana Shaya Sangarshana Swayam Devakyam Garba Sambandha Kuto Dehandaram Vinaha. So he says here, that So then he says here, after saying that important question he raised, Parikshit raised this to Sahadeva Goswami, and then he says, therefore tell me about that Krishna. He's presenting everyone, Krishna Katha, talk to me about that. What did Krishna do after that? He says, what did Krishna do after that? Then appeared as Rohini's son. And appeared as Rohini's son, Balaram, Lord Balaram, as Sankrishna Murti, Sankrishna, isn't it? As Balaram Murti, what did he do? And appearing as Devaki's son, what did he do? Krishna, what did he do? How many times he got married? And Parikshit is asking now in the form of a story. In the form of a story, katha. Like a story it is asking. And how long did he live in this world with the family members? And how long did he stay in Vrindavanam? What all did he do? I have heard all this teaching a little bit before, but I would like to hear about all that in a little bit more detail. A little bit more detail. Parikshit has heard so many things about Krishna before also, but Parikshit wanted to hear from Sahadeva Goswami a little bit more in detail, in depth, about Krishna's activities in Gokulam, in Vrindavanam, and in Dwaraka also, in Mathura and Dwaraka later. So, how long did he perform in this world, in the human form? In the human form. And don't talk to me, all of them, in a condensed form, but elaborately. Elaborately, talk to me. He says here, you look into that verse, in the 12th verse, he says, Edavanyacha sarvam me, mune krishna vicheshtinam, vaktum arhasi sarvajnam, shraddhadhanaya vistradam. The verse itself is like that. He says here, that Edadanyacha me, Edadanyacha sarvam me, talk to me everything, mune krishna vicheshtinam. My dear Sahadeva Goswami, he says to him, that Muni Krishna Vicheshtinam, Krishna's activities, what is that? Vaktum Arhasi Sarvajnaha, you should talk about them. You are qualified to speak about him. Why? Shraddhadhanaya Vistradam, in an elaborate way. In elaborately, you should discuss about him. Because you are the qualified person to do that. Why? Because he has realized the soul. Therefore, he is qualified to talk about Krishna properly. Because only a realized soul will understand Krishna properly. Otherwise they won't understand. We are talking about Krishna with our limited mind and limited senses and whatever we understood from the Bhagavatam. But when the realized soul speaks about Krishna, he can bring out from Srimad Bhagavatam Krishna's presence. They can do that. They have that realization inside. They know what is Krishna, isn't it? You can see when 8 cantos were spoken, Parikshit heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Sahadeva Goswami 8 cantos. And in the 9th canto, and in the 8th canto, all the Upanishads Tattvam, Upanishad principles were spoken in the 8th canto. And in the 9th canto, the history of all the kings were spoken. And with that history of the kings, when he heard, immediately Parikshit started realizing that all these great personalities have come and gone. There is no question of me staying back here. I also have to go. Vairagyam came to him. And when that realization happened, then Sahadeva Goswami still did not talk about Krishna in depth. In the end of 9th canto, he summarized everything. Parikshit said, I want to hear about Krishna in depth. Sahadeva Goswami asked the question, which Krishna are you talking about? Then Parikshit says, the Krishna who protected my grandfather Arjuna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra and who gave Bhagavad Gita to him, the knowledge of the soul. Sahadeva Goswami was not satisfied. Then again, Parikshit says, no, Krishna who protected me in the womb of Uttara Devi, my mother, Uttara Devi's womb, who protected me and who allowed me to come and hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Sahadeva Goswami says, not sufficient. And then he says, Viryani Tasyagila Deha Bhajam, that Krishna who is present in this world right at this moment, who is present in every living entity's heart, it is about that Krishna I want to hear. It is about that Krishna I want to hear. So that gives life to the discussion, isn't it? Otherwise, 5,000 years ago, Krishna has come and gone, and it will be like another historical discussion. You are discussing history then. Bhagavatam is not history. Bhagavatam is life all the time.
Whenever we are discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is present there. Why? Who is hearing Bhagavatam? Krishna is present in everyone's heart and he is hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. You can't forget all these things while hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. That's why that verse is important. Viryani tasya agila deha bhajam andarbahi purusha kalarubaihi prayaschamrityu mridamridam cha maya manushyasya vadasa vidvan. That personality who came 5,000 years ago under the cover of that Vaishnavi Maya here performed all that pastimes, that's correct. But who is present right now here inside as the soul of every living entity, outside as time personified. Outside is death, inside is nectar. If you experience Krishna inside, it is nectar. If you experience Krishna outside, it is death. Everything in this world will die at the end, isn't it? So any connection with the world outside will bring distress at the end. This is the main principle. No matter what it is, no matter how great it is, as long as your attention, Shraddha, is on anything outside, you will experience distress at the end. So long as the attention is on the soul, you will never experience death, you will never experience distress either. That's why that verse is important. And when Sukadeva Goswami heard that, he was willing to speak about Krishna. That is how he wants to talk about Krishna. You will see this in due course of time when we go through so many chapters. How Sukadeva Goswami sees Krishna as a reality in this world all the time. At one point when the gopis were searching for Krishna, when Krishna disappeared in the middle of Rasa dance, Krishna disappeared from the middle of Rasa dance, and gopis are, you will see in the Bhagavatam, and they were going around, they were so attached to Krishna, they were going and asking all the trees and plants and creepers, everyone, have you seen Krishna, have you seen Krishna, have you seen Krishna? This question. Sukadeva Goswami started smiling at the gopis. He's making fun of them actually. He's saying about the gopis, everything is nice, they have very attachment to Krishna and all that. But who are you searching for? That person who is present everywhere in everyone, where can you search for him? What are you searching for? He says like that to the gopis. He makes fun of them at that time. Are you searching for that person who is present in everyone? He's saying to gopis like that. So you can see, Sukadeva Goswami, when he is talking Srimad Bhagavatam, he is fully conscious that Krishna is always present here, right now, in everyone, and Krishna is hearing. In that full consciousness, he is speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a big difference. Whereas many people, when they will talk about Bhagavatam, they will present Bhagavatam as though 5,000 years ago Krishna came, he performed all these pastimes, then he went back to the spiritual world, finished. How good is it, hearing that? That's an important point. So here you can see here that I am sitting here that a great attention. Who is saying this? Parishit is saying here. I am sitting here with, don't talk to me in summary, but talk to me in depth, he says. Elaborately, you talk to me about, elaborate everything, he says. So at that time, Sukadeva Goswami looked into Parishit's stomach. How Parishit is feeling now? He looked at his stomach. Because Parishit was a king, isn't it? Parishit was a king. King means what? You know what that means, isn't it? King means a breakfast with what? 10 course or 20 course breakfast. Breakfast. And a lunch means all the finest cuisine. The best, isn't it? That is the way kings live. They don't live like us on a khichdi or a puppet. The Parishit is not going to accept that, our khichdi. But not making fun of khichdi. We are satisfied with that khichdi. We don't want anything more than that. It's more than enough. But Parishit state, we are saying, is discussing here. Whatever he wants, he can have it. Isn't it? That is Parishit's life. King, isn't it? Emperor of the world. So you can imagine the lifestyle, what that will be. So the body, Parishit's body, has experienced a lot of sense enjoyment. Naturally, you can't say no. Royal family, royal life. You can see the royal lifestyle, isn't it? So Parishit is not like us, living on two dhotis and a pot of khichdi. He is living very well. He is living very well. Whereas Sukadeva Goswami will join us. you don't even want a kishri even. He will be satisfied with a glass of water. Even if you don't give anything, he'll still join you. It's like so big difference between Sudeva Goswami and Parikshit. So as soon as all these things he spoke, Parikshit spoke, the first place where he looked was to Parikshit's stomach. King, isn't it? So what has happened to the king? King is talking like this, that I want to hear about Krishna in this particular way, what he said. So is he ready for all these things? This was the mood in which Sudeva Goswami was looking at Parikshit. That you will see in those verses there, where he says that... that so many days he hasn't eaten anything. How many days? In the 7 days when Parikshit was hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, this 10th canto comes somewhere around on the 5th day. 5th day around lunchtime, you could say, that the Krishna's appearance comes. Krishna's appearance means for practically the first chapter, third chapter Krishna appears. So generally when they read Srimad Bhagavatam for 7 days, Krishna's appearance comes around 5th day. And then 5th day from lunchtime onwards till evening, and whole of 6th day is this 10th canto. On the 7th day is canto 11, before leaving the body, Parikshit leaving the body, and the 12th canto. 12th canto is a small canto, 13 chapters only. So normally if you read Srimad Bhagavatam for 7 days, Krishna's appearance will come around the 5th day. So normally when they read Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll see some people who want to hear the 10th canto, they will pop in on the 5th day. But they'll come at the lunchtime after having a big feast, then they like to sit and hear about Krishna. So what it is that when Parikshit was hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Sukadeva Goswami, that 4 days he hasn't eaten anything. 4 days he hasn't eaten anything, hasn't drunk anything, not even a drop of water. And he's looking at Sukadeva Goswami with eyes wide open. With eyes wide open. So he hasn't closed his eyes either. Normally what happens to all of us? If the prasadam is not there on time, we will sleep. If the prasadam is there, also we will sleep. Either way we will sleep. One way, either due to fatigue, we will sleep. The other way, because of excess prasadam, we will go to sleep. So either way, you can't hear Srimad Bhagavatam. In either way, we are handicapped that way. But whereas Sukadeva Goswami is concerned, he is not bothered. Whether he gets food, he doesn't get food. It doesn't matter to him. He will talk. He can talk. He's like that. That is Jadabharata's another appearance, isn't it? Jadabharata was like that. If food comes, he will take it. He'll say, oh, this is the food given to the super soul today. I'll take it, he says. And he will eat it. That's how he was. Sudeva Goswami is very much like that. But Parikshit is not like that, isn't it? So, so he started thinking, he was a king who lived like that. And therefore he will be feeling hunger, thirst, and all of those things. So, should you not eat something before I start this Krishna Katha? This is what was in Sudeva Goswami's mind when he looked at Parikshit in that way. He has still not started talking about Krishna. Because when you start talking about Krishna, it is possible that you may fall asleep. You may fall asleep or you'll be so hungry that you won't be able to stay. And when Sukadeva Goswami looked at Parikshit like that in a meaningful way, Parikshit got the message. Why is he looking at me like this? They are both intelligent people. When Sukadeva Goswami looked at Parikshit in that way, then immediately Parikshit understood, why is he looking at me like this? Probably he is thinking that I have not eaten, I have not slept, I have not drunk anything. I must be well tired. So therefore, should he not talk Bhagavatam to me? This was his reaction to that. That you will see. Though he straight away he says to Parikshit, says to him, what did he say to him? He says, Maishadi dusaha chunmam tetodam abhivadyadem pibandam tunmugham bojam achyudam harigadham radam.
He says here, Naishadi dusaha chunmam tektodam abhibhadade pibandam tunmugam boja chachudam harikathamrudam.
That if you are thinking that I am starving or I am feeling thirsty, hunger, and also if you think that I am tired and fatigued, you got it wrong, he says. You completely misunderstood the situation.
Pibandam tunmugam bojam.
I am sitting here for the last 4 days without food, without drink, without sleep, only for one reason.
Pibandam tunmugam bojam.
That from your face, from your lips, from Sukadeva Goswami's lips, I want to hear about Krishna. And when Krishna comes from Sukadeva Goswami's lips, it is like
Pibandam tunmugam bojachudam.
When it falls from his lips, Harikatha Amrudam. It is like the nectar. Harikatha is like Amrudam. It's like Amrudam. And Parikshit knows this. He says, I've been sitting here for this. And you are telling me that I've been thinking about my food and drink and sleep. No, not at all. That is why those verses are spoken in that way. That initially, Sukadeva Goswami won't talk to everyone, anyone in this world. Very, very selective he is. Very selective to whom he is talking to. He will only talk that if I talk something, it must have its result. Otherwise he won't talk. He's not like us, we'll talk to anyone, everyone, whether it helps or not. If it helps, helps. If it doesn't help, doesn't matter. That is not him. The Sudeva Goswami is a personality like that. He will only see if the person is worthwhile talking to. Jadabharata also same. He won't talk to anyone and everyone. Rahugana, he decided to talk because he thought that this person has the qualities in him. Only problem he has got is some little bit of bodily concept of life is strong in him. So all he spoke to him was about bodily concept of life and completely crushed his ego inside, threw him out, and after that Raghuna fell at his feet straight away. Isn't it? That's what our Jadabharata did to Raghuna. And when he found that it was worthwhile talking, he spoke. Jadabharata spoke. Kali in the temple, she protected Jadabharata from the pujari, isn't it? Who came with the sword to kill Jadabharata as a sacrifice. And so many others also, Kali killed at that time everybody and protected Jadabharata from all of them. And after that, Bhadrakali goes to Jadabharata and asking Jadabharata, do you want me to do anything for you? Can I do any service to you? Who is asking this? Bhadrakali is asking Jadabharata. You know Jadabharata's answer? Jadabharata did not answer even. Jadabharata did not even answer. His position was like this. Bhadrakali is a realized soul, one of Krishna's, Lord Shiva's daughter, an associate, isn't it? Already in that higher level. So there is no need in talking to you anything. So Jadabharata won't speak anything to her. So if you are self-realized, they won't talk to you. If you are in a stage whereby talking to you, if there is some benefit, they'll talk to you. Otherwise, they won't talk. They're quiet. That is their nature. So Jadabharata was like that. Sudeva Goswami is also like that. He won't speak unless he knows that there is some benefit in talking to a person. So that is why he was not willing to talk in spite of so many things he has, Parikshit has told. Parikshit said, I want to hear about Krishna in detail. And he also told what kind of Krishna he is talking about, everything. Still he won't say. And then when he looked at Parikshit, is he ready for this? Is he still starving or hunger or sleepy? Then he says like this, Naishadi dusaha chunmam tektodam abhibhadade pibandam tvanmugam bojam achyudam harikathamrudam. That this nectar continuously dropping, pibandam means to drink that nectar, tvanmugam bojachyudam, from the face of Sukadeva Goswami's mugam bojam. Mukhamujam means the lotus face of Sukadeva Goswami. From there it is dropping drip by drip, this nectar of Krishna. Harikathamrudam. That nectar I want to drink. I want to drink, he says. He says, I want to drink that nectar. In other words, you can see, Parikshit is also want to hear because it's Sukadeva Goswami who is speaking. Because it is Sukadeva Goswami. Because he knew, if I hear, Srimad Bhagavatam from Parishad knew. If I hear Srimad Bhagavatam from Sudeva Goswami, that is the end of this cycle. Birth and death is over. He is aware of that. That's why it's saying like that. So here you can see. So I am drinking that. I have no hunger nor thirst, not even water. Tekta odamabhi, that even water I don't want to drink. But why? Because what I am drinking with the ears now, not with the mouth. Not with the mouth. Pim pibandam tanmuga ambojachudam harikada amradam. But that what is flowing from the face of Sukadeva Goswami, Harikatha Amritam, the nectar of Harikatha, Hari's Katha, Krishna's Katha. About Krishna is what he is talking about. And that nectar he is enjoying, Therefore, hunger and thirst is not a problem. He says, please continue talking about Krishna. So, devotees are like that. They want to hear about Krishna. And to hear about Krishna, or there is a kirtanam, devotees will go there. And in that process, if the stomach is demanding something, they will take a little bit of khichdi or whatever that is given. That's all they want from that. But first priority is hearing about Krishna. Therefore, for us, the first priority is prasadam. It has become like that now, isn't it? First priority has become the prasadam. And other thing, and then Parikshit heard, if there is no prasadam, hearing won't happen now. Katha Shravanam won't happen. So therefore, we have to hear like Parikshit. Ideally, that is how we have to hear Bhagavatam. Whole day, not eating anything, not drinking anything, with total fasting. One should hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And interest, why is it like that? We have eaten and drunk and hearing Bhagavatam. And if you ask Parikshit, you have heard 18,000 verses. How many verses do you remember in Bhagavatam? You ask question to Parikshit. Parikshit will say, I don't remember any one verse. He doesn't remember any verse in the Bhagavatam. Because our connection with the Bhagavatam is on a different level. We think understanding Bhagavatam through the verses, memorizing the verses, all this is important. Parikshit is thinking, verses are not important, that experience is more important of Krishna. Experiencing Krishna inside is more important. So and that is called in Shravanam Lakshyartham. Lakshyartham and Vachyartham, two things in Shravanam. Most of the people get busy with the Vachyartham. Vachyartham, all these people who are studying Bhagavatam like that. Verse by verse they will analyze, word by word they will analyze, they will check the grammar, they will check the literary beauty of the language or the music of the verse and things like that. People study Bhagavatam like that. And even you can see in organizations also, wherever Srimad Bhagavatam is taken seriously, many people will think, oh, he remembers all the 18,000 verses, somebody will say. Or someone else remembers so much verses in the Bhagavatam. And Parikshit, if you ask, he says, I don't remember any verse in the Bhagavatam. Because verse is not the important thing. Parikshit is concerned that realization is more important. And that has happened to him. What you have to get after remembering all these verses, he has got it. So why worry about the verses so much? Verses is not the important thing. Although verses are helping there to get to that state. So Vachyartham, Lakshyartham, two things. We have to understand that. Everything in the Shastram has got Vachyartham. Vachyartham means the literal meaning. If you read a verse, Bhagavad Gita also is like that. You read the verse, it has got a Vachyartham, a translation is there. So, the translation gives you the Vachyartham. The purport or the commentary gives you the Lakshyartham. Yeah? The translation will give you the Vachyartham. But because we know very well, we won't understand the thing what you have to really understand from the verse. Therefore, commentary and purport has come. This is why commentary has come from the
Otherwise, everyone in the past knew Sanskrit. There was no need to write commentaries on that, isn't it? Everyone in the past knew Sanskrit. But therefore, they all could understand the meaning of the words. That is Vachyartham. But Lakshyartham was not given easily. Therefore, Acharyas gave us the Lakshyartham for that. If you remember, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Srirangam. A Brahmana was reading Bhagavad Gita there. It's a famous story. And this Brahmana couldn't even read properly. Full of mistakes. All the words were broken. And the verses were all... He was practically murdering Bhagavad Gita with his reading. He was murdering Bhagavad Gita. So all the other Brahmanas were more qualified and intelligent, who were hearing him, telling him, please don't read Bhagavad Gita anymore in front of these deities, sitting here like this, he said. So he moved away from there and go and sat in one corner and he was reading there, not in front of the deity anymore. So one day, some Brahmanas were walking there when he was reading Bhagavad Gita. They heard him reading. They told him, you leave this place, go from here. We don't want to hear you reading Bhagavad Gita. They said to him like that. But he, because he was not into Vachyartham, he was into Lakshyartham. Lakshyartham means the goal, he knew what Bhagavad Gita is all about. So he still, in spite of all that, he kept Bhagavad Gita in the front and he was turning the pages back and forth and was looking at it when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed through that way. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked at him, he saw this Brahmana was crying. Tears were coming from his eyes. Mahaprabhu asked him, why are you crying? He says, I'm crying because when I look at Bhagavad Gita, I see Krishna and Arjuna Arjuna sitting there on the chariot. Krishna is so kind and talking to him. Arjuna, I'm seeing that and it makes me really affected by that. I'm just unable to understand that karunyam, mercy Krishna is showing to Arjuna, that Krishna's kindness to Arjuna. Thinking about that, I'm crying. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, you have understood Bhagavad Gita. You understood Bhagavad Gita, you got it. I'd like to hear from you because you got it. So getting that realization is the most important thing. Whether we hear Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, the realization or the experience of Krishna in that way is the most important thing. So here you can see that Lakshyartham and Vachyartham and Lakshyartham, both of them were there. So anubhuti or experience of Krishna is more important than remembrance of verses or anything else. That means, as soon as you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, if it directly goes inside to the heart, that immediately you will keep on experiencing Krishna inside. You'll keep on experiencing Krishna inside. As I mentioned before, it may not happen the first day, but when you develop this habit of hearing over a long period of time, as soon as you hear Bhagavatam, immediately that experience will come from inside. That is not simply understanding the meanings of the word. Meanings of the word or the verbal understanding. It is an experiential understanding. It is not verbal understanding. It is experiential understanding. Experiential understanding. That is called in Shastram as anubhuti. Anubhuti is the word. This is what I am saying, that when you don't, particularly you don't market these things. Anubhuti is not for marketing. It's not for sale. Anubhuti you don't sell. You can't sell it also, isn't it? What you can sell is all these verses, books and the commentaries, everything printed form. You can sell, run courses, seminars and everything. That will not help. That won't help. That will remain in that state. It will be only an understanding, it will be verbal understanding of things. Verbal understanding of things. But that experiential understanding of Krishna is what is Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita for. Otherwise it is no meaning, isn't it? What meaning has it got? If you have to verbally study a book, you don't need to go to temple for that, do you? You can sit at home, everything is on the internet. Everything. All you have to type one or two words, you get the whole thing pulled out from there. Any Upanishad, any Puranam, any commentary, anything you want, it's there on the internet. All you need a BT connection, internet connection, and a table and a computer, sit at home comfortably. All the information you can get. Why do you have to go to temple for that? What has temple got to offer then?
The question will come, isn't it? Why do you go to temple? Because in computer, internet can provide you Vachyartham, it cannot give you Lakshyartham. Lakshyartham won't happen. Lakshyartham will happen like here. Parikshit is saying to Sukadeva Goswami, I want to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from you, from your lips. Because why? He knows that Sukadeva Goswami has got that in him. When it comes through him, it will have its direct impact on Parikshit. He knows about that. That is why he is saying that. You hear from the right person this message, it will have its effect on you. It cannot leave you anytime. Impact will be there. That experiential understanding of Krishna will happen when you hear from the great devotees like that. That is why he says here, Bhagavata Pradhana. He says here, isn't it? That if you look at the next verse, Evam Nishamya Bhrigunandana Sadhuvadam. Next verse, 14. Evam Nishamya Bhrigunandana Sadhuvadam Vayasagi Sa Bhagavanada Vishnuradam Pratyarcha Krishna Charidam Kaligalma Shagnam Vyahartumarabadam Bhagavada Pradhanaha. All these verses in the 10th canto have a much more background to it than what we think the translation and little performed. That's why Prabhupada specifically wrote that Krishna book for this reason. That understand Krishna in a particular way. Not simply don't think that who had come here 5,000 years ago and gone. That evam nishamya bhrigunandana sadhuvadam. That this, when Parikshit spoke like this, that I'm sitting here, hunger, thirst or sleep is not bothering me anymore. I just want to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from your lips. Because when Sukadeva Goswami is speaking, what actually is coming out from inside? It is not that words that it matters. It is that anubhuti inside. That Sukadeva Goswami is experiencing Krishna inside is flowing out through the words. That is why it's called anubhuti. When they speak, it will come out through the words. That anubhuti, what is called as an experiential understanding inside, will flow through the words to the person who is hearing that. And that is why we have to hear from the great personalities like that, who have gone through Srimad Bhagavatam in the same way and who have got that anubhuti in them. Anubhuti is important. And that is why it says like that, evam nishamya, when he heard this, evam nishamya bhrigunandana sadhuvadam vayasagi sa bhagavanada vishnuratam. That when he heard this, Sukabrahmarshi Sukadeva Goswami congratulated Parikshit Maharaj. Pratyarcha Krishna Charidam, about Krishna's history, Krishna's story. Krishna Charidam, what is the speciality with that? Kali Kalma Shagnam, that none of the impact of Kali can touch Krishna's pastimes. Kali Kalma Shagnam Vyahartum Arabatam Bhagavada Pradhanaha. That Bhagavada Pradhanaha, that Krishna, Sukadeva Goswami started speaking about Krishna, Bhagavata Pradhanaha. Bhagavata Pradhanaha. He started speaking about Krishna. So here we can see among the Bhagavadas, Bhagavadam, personality, Sukadeva Goswami is the most famous, isn't it? Because he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. Another meaning is this canto is the most important canto in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Which one? The 10th canto. Which is the 10th canto. Therefore, both ways, it is Bhagavata Pradhanam. One way, it is the most important canto. Many people have a little different opinion about that. Some Vedantis say 11th canto is important. But a lot of Vedantis and even devotees say 10th canto is important. That is an individual taste. As an individual taste. One who is very much into Jnanamargam, who gets affected by knowledge, he will go after the 11th canto. And one who is attracted by Krishna's childhood pastimes and other leela and the bhakti devotees of the gopis and all the other great devotees and those who are also a little bit attracted to some of the knowledge part of the 10th canto, they'll go to 10th canto. So between 10 and 11 there is always a little bit of a choice there. Some people, but majority agree that 10th canto is the most important canto in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because 11th canto is not accessible to everyone.
You may read 11th canto, but afterwards you give up Bhagavatam. Whereas if you read 10th canto, you will stay in the Bhagavatam. That's the difference. After reading 11th canto, many people feel this is not for me. Not in this life, next life we'll give it a try. They'll say, because it's too high. Philosophy is so high in the 11th canto. Whatever Krishna is saying there to Uddhava, it probably suits Uddhava, but not for, unless there is some big flow of mercy coming from Krishna, that 11th canto is difficult to digest. It's very, very difficult. Some of the things what Krishna says there, Parasvabhava karmani, ya prashamsadi ya nindadi, Vishwamegalpagam pashyan, prakritya purushenaja. The 28th chapter, if you look, you will see there. Never ever talk about another person. Once you say that, finish there, isn't it? Is there anyone here who don't talk about another person and others' activities, he says. Parasvabhavam, another's nature, svabhavam, or other's action. Never make one word, comment about it. Why? Parasvabhava karmani na prashamsadi na nindadi. You should not glorify that, you should not condemn anyone. Why? Vishwam egalpagam pashyan. You have to see the whole world as one, only the spirit soul. Prakritya purusha nacha. Although Sankhyam says prakriti and purusha, actually it's only one, he says. So when you hear these verses, immediately you start saying, well, to see the whole world as one, first thing. That's not going to happen. Secondly, you should not talk about anyone. If you can't talk about anybody else, what is there to talk about in this world? All these questions will come, isn't it? It's not possible for us to live in this world in that state. That's for Sudeva Goswami, Uddhava and people like that. So therefore, Ekadasha Skandam has got this problem. Everything is a fact. What Krishna has spoken is 100% true. But to reach that state, you are more or less sure in this lifetime, it may not happen. It may not happen. Then he says, Parasvabhava karmani ya prashamsadi ya nindadi. If somebody does that, sa ashu brashyade. He is immediately fallen, he says. Krishna's measurement is like that. He is fallen down if he is talking about somebody. We are saying if he break the four regulative principles, he is fallen. So there is a big difference there, isn't it? Krishna is not concerned with our regulative principles and all. Krishna says if the moment you open your mouth and talk about someone's work or activities or someone's nature, then you are fallen. Immediately you are fallen. So Ashu Brashyade Swarthal, why? Asatyam Abhinivesada, he says. Because you are talking about a false thing, which is not real, Krishna is concerned. Nothing is real in this creation. Krishna is saying like that. Asatyam abhiniveshada. You got attracted to falsity, therefore you are talking about others. You are talking about others' character and activities. Because you got attracted to falsity, the false things, maya in other words. Therefore you are talking. So you have to stay out of maya all the time if you want to understand Ekadasha Skandam. So that's why Canto 11 is difficult for most of the people. But some people who are attracted to that, they will come and hear Ekadasha Skandam. But anyway, here, this is the most important canto, 10th canto. In Bhagavadam, it's the most important canto, 10th canto. That's why that Bhagavada Pradhanaha mentions there. Importance in the Bhagavadam is that 10th canto, number one. Number two, among all the devotees who can speak Srimad Bhagavadam, the topmost personality is Sudev Goswami. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam. So, when he heard this, evam na shamya bhrugunandana saduvadham vayasagi sa bhagavanada vishnuradham pratyarchya krishna charidam kaligalmashagnam vyahartum arabhada bhagavata pradhanaha. So, that is why he says like this. Here, so, here you will see here, Vedavyasa Maharshi has put his name also into it, into that verse. Vedavyasa says here, little because Vedavyasa is also feeling a little pride there. Why? It is from Vedavyasa Sukadeva Goswami has got Bhagavatam, isn't it? Sukadeva Goswami heard Srimad Bhagavatam from his father, Vedavyasa Maharshi. So since Sukadeva Goswami is getting glorified by Parikshit, because hearing Bhagavatam from Sukadeva Goswami means the most fortunate soul in this world. Isn't it? The most fortunate person. Parikshit's greatest fortune is what? That he was the person who was selected to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And through Parikshit, Krishna introduced Srimad Bhagavatam to this world. isn't it? So that great fortune Parikshit had. And Parikshit acknowledged in that verse, evam nishamya bhrugunandana saduvadham, that vayasaji isa bhagavanada vishnuradham, that he is able, Vishnuradhan, that protected Parikshit was able to hear from Parikshit is, Sudeva Goswami is Brahmaradhan, Parikshit is Vishnuradhan, is able to hear from him. And that good fortune Parikshit had to hear from Sudeva Goswami, but Sudeva Goswami had that good fortune that he could hear Bhagavatam from me. So therefore he introduced himself in that way. Vyasaki. Vyasaki is is here. Vyasa's son is Sudeva Goswami. And Vishnu has protected Parikshit, so therefore he is Vishnuradha. Vishnuradha. So the so here you can see both Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit, they are all actually in one sense disciple of Vedavyas, isn't it? Vedavyas instructed Sukadeva Goswami, Sukadeva Goswami is instructing Parikshit. Bhagavata Sampradayam you should never forget. Huh? We talked about that many, many times before. If it has gone away, I will remind that again. What is that Sampradayam? Sampradayam is like this. Kastvam yena vibhasitoyam adulo jnana pradipa pura. First, Krishna sat and Krishna wanted some satsangam. He wanted some association. He wanted to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. So what did he do? He looked into his navel, to abdomen. When he looked there, immediately a lotus flower sprouted from there. When he looked there, a lotus flower came out. When he looked into the lotus flower opened up. When the lotus flower opened up, he looked there was nobody there. So he got in there and sat there as Brahma. Krishna went and sat there as Brahma. So Krishna spoke Srimad Bhagavatam and Brahma heard Srimad Bhagavatam. That is how Bhagavatam begins in this world, isn't it? Kasmayena vibhasitoyam adulo jnana pradipa puraha tvadrubena cha. He sat there and he spoke Bhagavatam to Brahma. Brahma said, and then what did Brahma do? Tvadrubena cha naradaya munaye. Shri Narada Maharshi, he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to him. So, Krishna sat in Brahma, in Brahma's heart, and heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Krishna. Okay. Then Krishna went and sat in Narada Maharshi's heart and heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Brahma. Krishna speaks and Krishna listens. This is the process of Bhagavatam. Krishna speaks and Krishna listens. Tadrubena cha naradaya munaye. He took the form of Brahma and heard Bhagavatam from Krishna. Then he took the form of Narada Maharshi and heard Bhagavatam in the form of Narada Maharshi. Krishna heard Bhagavatam from Brahma, who is also Krishna. It's another form. In this way, Krishna to Brahma, Brahma to Narada Maharshi. Then sitting in the heart of Narada Maharshi, Krishna spoke Bhagavatam. And sitting in the heart of Vedavyasa Maharshi, Krishna heard Bhagavatam. This is how Bhagavatam flows into the world. Sitting in the heart of Vedavyas, Krishna spoke Bhagavatam. Sitting in the heart of Sukadeva Goswami, Krishna heard Srimad Bhagavatam. Sitting in the heart of Sukadeva Goswami, Krishna spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. Sitting in the heart of Parikshit, Krishna heard Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna spoke, Krishna heard. Tadrubena janaranaya munaye, Krishnaya tadrubina, Yogindraya tadatmanada, Bhagavadradhaya karunyadam, Tachrudham vimalam vishokam amrudam, Satyam param dhimahi. Bhagavatam begins with this Satyam param dhimahi. Bhagavatam finishes with Satyam param dhimahi. They are talking about Satyam, Param Satyam, Param Satyam Dhimahi. So therefore that Param Satyam is what is discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So here also you can see that after hearing 9 cantos, Parikshit is asking with great devotion to Sukadeva Goswami, tell me Srimad Bhagavatam. At that time Sukadeva Goswami respected Parikshit for that, and glorifying Parikshit, Sukadeva Goswami starts the 10th canto. Sukadeva Goswami starts the 10th canto. That is what you will see there in the 14th verse.
Pratyaksha Krishna Charitam, Pratyaksha Krishna Charitam Kaligalma Shagnam, Vyahartum Arabhada Bhagavada Pradhana. That Vyahartum Arabhada Bhagavada Pradhanam. That Bhagavadam, he begins that Pratyaksha Krishna Charitam Kaligalma Shagnam. That hearing about Krishna means unaffected by Kali. That is the beauty of Krishna Katha. Krishna Charitam, Krishna Katha. Why do we hear Krishna Katha? So that Kali don't touch you. Kali don't touch you. Why do we say Kali? Kali means what? Kali means this meat eating, illicit sex, intoxication, gambling. That is all Kali. Apart from that, what else is Kali? Lust, anger, greed, envy, all other dirty things which is inside, which hits us from this world in different ways, from the lower modes of nature, that's also part of Kali. That's also part of Kali. If we want to stay out of Kali, unaffected by Kali, in the state of Krishna consciousness, then the option is Srimad Bhagavatam. That is what it says. Pratyarcha Krishna Charitam Kali Kalma Shagnam Vyahartum Arabhada Bhagavada Pradhana. That if you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, this Kali cannot enter inside. That is why devotees hear Srimad Bhagavatam all the time. All the time. If you hear Bhagavatam, Kali has no place inside that. After that, Kali cannot enter inside. So, even the many, many pure people, persons, very, very pure people, even they will get impure due to association with Kali. Kali, how does Kali destroy anyone? Kali kalmashagnam, kalmasham. Kalmasham is a special word in the Shastram. Why is that? Kalmasham means what? Kala masha. Kalmasham. Kalmasham. Kamam, lodham, moham. Three things, isn't it? Kamam, lobham, moham. From then, sham. Sham means the six things coming from that. Which means kama, krodha, lobham, moham, madam, malsaryam. If you translate that in English, it is lust, anger, greed, kamam, krodham, lobham, illusion, moham, madam, false pride, and malsaryam, to compete with the world, with somebody. All the time competing. I have to be better than the other. This mood. These six things is called kalmasham. That's how the word comes. The six things, as long as they are inside a person, he cannot hear Bhagavatam. He won't understand anything. Understand means it won't have any effect on the person. So these six things, wiping them out from inside is the most important thing. How will you get rid of them? Not by attending a course or seminar, it won't happen. About the etiquette or Vaishnava etiquette or whatever we call it, it won't happen. That again is with the mind you are doing that. Mind and intelligence. That won't work. If you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, it will happen. That is what Bhagavatam is saying. If you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, this Kali Kalma Shagnam will go. You don't have to run separate courses for that then, after that. This is all misunderstanding. This is not process of bhakti. Bhakti is like this. Srimad Bhagavatam is the medicine for everything. Prabhupada didn't start any courses, you know that. He didn't run courses and seminars on the Vaishnava etiquettes and things. He says to everybody, he even told us, don't go to even psychiatrists and psychologists, he says. If you are disturbed, take Srimad Bhagavatam and read Bhagavatam. That will tell you the answer. Why you are disturbed, he said. If you have any problem, read Bhagavad Gita. And Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam will answer all your questions in this world. You don't have to go for counseling. You don't have to go for any courses or any kind of, nowadays all this is happening, isn't it? You wonder what is that going through their mind when you see that. These etiquette courses, everywhere it's. And after the course, the etiquette what they are showing, when you see that, it is shocking actually, when you see their etiquette after the course. It won't work like that. It is simply not, doesn't happen that way. Everywhere, you look at the internet, etiquette courses are running everywhere. Vaishnava etiquettes. And they got a certificate after that. You frame it and hang it up in the room. That's all. That's all it's worth. Whereas, here the answer in the Bhagavatam, Parikshit is saying, you can see Sudha Goswami's words, Pratyaksha Krishna Charitam Kali Kalma Shagnam Vyahartum Arabhada Bhagavata Pradhana. You are minimizing the importance of Bhagavatam when you are running these courses. You are actually minimizing. You have not understood what Bhagavatam is capable of. It is through Bhagavadam every devotee in the past has gone to Krishna holding Bhagavadam in their hand. None of them had any certificate or any degree, nothing from anywhere. What they had in their heart was Srimad Bhagavadam. That is what will change a person, not the courses and seminars. It won't help. It's simply an illusion in their mind. That is so powerful, that illusion, that you can see. Pratyarcha Krishna Charitam Kaligalmashagnam. That is why very specifically he's saying there. Kaligalmasham. What is the Kaligalmasham? Kamam, Krodham, Lobham, Moham, Madam, Matsaryam. These six things. Isn't it? In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, what did he say? Dharma Projjita Kaida Votra Paramo Nirmatsaranam Satam Vedyam. Only if you have given up this competing nature, competing with each other, Matsara Buddhi, I have to be better than the other. If he has distributed 10 books, I should distribute 12 books more than him. That competition inside. Why it is like that? That competition is coming from Rajogunam. That is Rajogunam product it is. Krishna consciousness doesn't need Rajogunam. That Nirmatsaranam Satam Vedyam. That Nirmatsara Buddhi, not to compete with anyone. I have nothing to compete in this world. Whom am I competing with? Nirmatsaranam Satam Vedyam. Those who have no competition mood inside, Satam Vedyam, they will relish Bhagavadam. Otherwise you can't relish Srimad Bhagavadam. This is why Bhagavadam put that condition in the beginning of Bhagavadam itself. Dharma Projjita Kaidavotra Param Atra Paramo Nirmatsaranam Satam Vedyam. Nirmatsaranam Satam Vedyam. Those who are Nirmatsara, who are not competing each other, for him it is always Vedyam. He will relish that. That is how it is mentioned like that. So here Vedavyasa Maharshi mentioned about himself that 9 cantos he has spoken, and Sukadeva Goswami is saying here Pratyaksha Krishna Charitam Kali Kalmashagnam. So this Kalmasham, that how does Kali work in this age? Kali gets inside where? Into our intelligence. And our train of thought, Chintasarani it's called, it will completely move it away. The train of thought will change. Kali, that is Kali's nature. That is why it's called Kalmasham. Kamam, Krodham, Lobham, Moham, Madam, Malsaryam, all of that. So how do we remove them? All of these things, these six things we talked about, lust, anger, greed, pride, and this competing nature, illusion, all of that is emotional, isn't it? It is in the mind. It happens in the mind. What is in the mind, you cannot take it out by karma. Karma cannot take it out. It is not possible. No matter how much karma you do in this world, it will not work. Through karma, you can't purify inside. It's not possible through karma. By activity, it cannot be done. Just like a snake goes inside its hole underneath the tree. There's a hole. The snake will go inside the hole. You are standing outside and you are hitting the hole from outside. Nothing will happen to the snake inside. Isn't it? These six things, kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, madam, malsaryam, they are like the snake. It's gone in and it is hiding there. It'll look right time before it comes out. Snakes are like that when it goes inside. We all have these snakes inside. Six snakes are there. Or the one snake with the six hoods lying inside. So Bhagavatam is saying that you cannot kill that snake by hitting outside. Karmam is like that. Karmam won't change all these things. Karmam is done by the body. But vasanas are inside at the very bottom of the mind. All the vasanas are present somewhere in the mind. It is lying there in the form of vasana, isn't it? Impressions. It lies there. So, if you keep on punishing the body, what good is it? You have to think this very carefully. That we are thinking that by karma, we can come out of our vasana. Karmam only will create vasana. Karmam cannot free you from vasanas. It's not possible. It is not possible. It is like the beating the snake from outside the hole. You keep on beating the hole, snake, nothing will happen to the snake. After you've beaten a lot and you've gone away, the snake will come out again. Vasanas are like that. Similarly, you can bathe in any holy river, in any tank, and go and live in the holy place, everything. But little bit of purity may happen. But inside, you need the treatment in the mind. You need the treatment. Otherwise, it won't work. Externally, you can do a little bit by going to a holy place, bathing in a holy river, associating with holy people and all that. It may help. But if that inside treatment doesn't happen, it won't happen. So that is why, if you remember this, Arjuna asked this question to Krishna, isn't it? You remember that in the second chapter? He asked, in the third chapter, Adhakena prayitvayam bhavam jaradi purusha. That famous verse, everybody remembers that verse, isn't it? Athakena prayuktoyam papam charadi purusha. Third chapter, 36th verse. Arjuna vacha. Arjuna is saying to Krishna, Athakena prayuktoyam papam charadi purusha. Anichanabhi varshnaya beladiva niyojida. This is the same question. Arjuna is saying, O descendant of Vrishni, by what is one impelled to sinful acts, even unwillingly, as if engaged by force? Remember? This question is a very important question in the Bhagavad Gita. That what is that force that is pushing us to act sometimes in a very wrong way? Where is that force coming from? We study all these things, and then suddenly a situation happens, sometimes murder happens, isn't it? Murder even happens in this world. Or so many other sinful things we do in this world, pushed by some force from within. We act like that. That is what was Arjuna's question was. Adhagaina prayuktoyam pabam charadi purusha. Belariva niyojida. Where is that force coming from, he says. As though someone is forcefully asking you to do it. Forcefully trying to do it. Who is the reason? Who is behind it? Arjuna asked that question. Is it a Satan? Satan. Is it a Satan inside? Krishna says the Satan is not outside, he is inside. He thought, Satan, isn't it? That's the right word, isn't it? Satan, yeah. Yeah, Satan is coming and pulling you and forcing you to do it. Krishna says, no, there is a Satan is staying inside you. That's what the problem is. The man, Satan whom you are calling, he is staying inside. He is not outside, everything is fine. But he is inside, what to do? That is the problem. So that is why Krishna says, Kama yesha, krodha yesha, rajoguna samulbhava. Isn't it? Rajoguna samulbhava. So rajogunam, from rajogunam inside, kamam and krodham. Lust and anger has come. And in a very, very subtle form, in the form of vasana, he is staying inside there and in your intelligence. And it creeps creating different emotions inside. Different emotions inside. First thing what it does is, it forces everyone that he makes himself to do the wrong thing. It is amazing sometimes, we think it is a wrong thing to do, still we go and do it. How many times has it happened? You can look at your own life. We all then say, I should not have happened, I shouldn't have done that. We keep saying like that later. Is it not? Everybody says that, not only us. Everyone in this world will say this sometime or the other in life. I shouldn't have done that, but it happened. Why did that happen? That you don't go further after that. Think about it, isn't it? All big men, they also make mistakes, isn't it? They also know when they do it, it's a wrong thing. But somebody in them is forcing them to do it. That's why it's saying like that. So what it is that this thing, kama yesha, krodha yesha, rajoguna samulbhava, which has come from rajogunam, in a very, very subtle form, in the form of vasanas,
in the sushmam state, it is staying inside in the form of asana, and it enters into the intelligence, and it creates different emotions in the mind, and it forces us to do the wrong thing. To do the wrong thing. Therefore, Krishna says, what does Krishna say in that?
That
Mahashanam Mahapapnam Vidhinam Iha Vairinam. All these Bhagavad Gita verses are pure psychology of our existence in this world. That's why you can't not take notice of all these things. Krishna is explaining to us that Mahashanam Mahapapnam. What is that Mahashanam? That person inside, that Satan, he has got a lot of hunger inside. He's very hungry. Mahashanam. And Mahapapnam. And he's a very sinful man also. He says there, isn't it? Mahashanam Mahapapnam. Buddhinam iha vairinam. Krishna says there that Kamayesha Krodhesha Rajoguna Samvilbhava Mahashanam Mahapapnam Buddhinam iha vairinam. Blessed Lord said that it is lust only, Arjuna, which is born of contact with the material modes of passion and later transformed into wrath, and which is all-devouring, sinful enemy of this world. And he is living inside. He is living inside us. So if you study Bhagavad Gita, you will notice the same thing what is spoken here also. Krishna is saying he is inside. And vidhinamiha vairinam. That enemy is inside. Fight against that enemy. That is Krishna's instructions to Arjuna. Fight him there. And in other words, the enemy who is within, you have to fight first. And remove him from inside. And fight against him and fight that battle. And that is the only way you can come out of it. Fight him and kill him first. Then all the battle is over. Most of us think the battle is outside. The battle is inside. That is why he says here, because it is in the form of vasana and it creates different emotions inside, in order to that to happen, the only way it can happen is pure emotions has to get inside. In order that the lower emotions has to leave, pure emotions has to get, and that pure emotions can come from bhakti. Bhakti creates that pure emotions inside. If it gets inside, nigirnam analoyatha. Nigirnam analoyatha. What will happen is, when the pure emotions goes inside, it will burn like a fire, and in that fire, all the bad emotions will burn into ashes. All the bad emotions will burn into ashes. That is why it is said in the Bhagavad Gita like that. So this, just like when you take food, it gets digested, isn't it? Cooked food, but it has to be digested again. So digesting is done by the fire inside. Fire does the digestive fire. Vaishwanara, isn't it? That digestive fire. It burns the food and digests it properly and makes it acceptable for the body. When we eat, it's not acceptable as it is, isn't it? At that time it's cooked, but still not acceptable, for it is not being made in the subtle form. It is required for the different parts in the body. Some part goes as the mind, some part goes as the blood, some part goes as the flesh. Like that, it has to go in different forms. And that is a digestive process, isn't it? So that has to be done inside. Nigirnam analoyatha. So when we burn this fire of bhakti inside, and it will burn all these vasanas inside and turn them into ashes. Just like the food, what we have eaten, gets digested and burned properly to be consumed by different parts of the body. In a similar way, bhakti once gets in, when bhakti develops in the heart, bhakti will create such a fire, and in that fire, these six kinds, kamam, krotham, lobham, moham, madam, matsaryam, all these six enemy, bad vasanas inside, which are lying there in a very subtle form, they will burn in that fire and gets destroyed. Because bhakti is the most powerful emotions of all. Bhakti is a most powerful. Only if there is bhakti inside, one can be pure. Otherwise, it's not possible to be
pure. There is no other shortcut in there. In that, there is no other shortcut. So, Kaligalmasham, Krishna Katha, develops bhakti in the heart and purifies a person. So, Krishna Katha, Sukadeva Goswami started speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. So, at that time, normally when great things are done, it is spoken that people are given some honor, isn't it? And they date that honor in different ways. So that is why honoring people is what is done in that verse. Vishnu Radha, and also it's mentioned that the Vayasaki, Bhrigunandana, all those things are the titles that are spoken about the personalities involved in there. So so it is a common practice like that. When something important is happening, you will give some title to the great persons who are present there. So it is that verse is actually the title presentation to the three personalities, including Vedavyasa Maharshi. Vedavyasa, Sukadeva Goswami, Parikshit, all of them have been titled there. Isn't it? Some people, if they don't get a title, they will forcefully get one. That's also there in this world. There are some people like that. If they don't... It's a very funny world in that way. I don't know why it is like that, but they like it. Some title attached to the name. This path or that path, something like that should be there. Even if you're not happy, if they feel that there's something missing in my name, either HDG or HH or something like that, isn't it? It's all going on in this world. They're not satisfied with one name, but they want all the other names so that the world will respect them, isn't it? So many people are waiting in behind the scene to get the title, HDG, or HH, or His Divine Grace, Her Divine Grace, and all that, HDG. The postman is getting confused, where is all these people living? We are putting the postman. Postman is completely in trouble. He comes to Lashmore Heath and says, "Oh, this village must be something. All the great personalities are living here." Everyone is a HDG, or HH, or... And wherever, I'm sure it's happening in many other postcodes as well, and the postman must be going through a hard time. We'll discuss it tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.